B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning, everybody. Happy, 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 happy Friday, day two of the tournament. We love it. Ah, this is fantastic. We had a great sports day yesterday. All kinds of, you had the big upset with the kids from Jersey and St. Peter's over Kentucky. All kinds of NFL news, including the blockbuster, which was amazing. Devontae Adams to the Raiders as the AFC West gets that much more ridiculous, right? It's amazing. The big story, though, I'm very excited, and that is the Phillies are still involved in Nick the Greek. Nick Castellanos is still a possibility. Reports that it's the Phillies and Marlins. Come on, man. Come on. Listen, don't tease me now. All right? It's the Phillies and Marlins. All right? Please. All right, mids, big mids, you got to be able to outbid the Marlins for this thing. We listen, you get Castellanos, they're a legitimate contender. Because, look, forget the Dodgers, you know, that's a ridiculous lineup, but, you know, all you can worry about is your own division to start with. And with Castellanos and Schwarber, with Harper, JT, Reese, that's formidable. That is a great lineup. I'm starting to get excited. I was thinking about lineups on the way because they're in it. And they need to do it. You need another bat the way you're constructed. And if you get that other bat, that's a great, that all of a sudden that lineup in this ballpark, it's kind of what we all wanted, or I've always wanted, which is bash your way to a division title. And boy, how much fun would that be this summer? Watching them put up crooked numbers. That would be a blast. So we're going to be in the deal zone all day today. We got Tim Legler going to join us. Legs will join us about 12:30. So all of your Sixers, you know, fears and hopes and angst and everything in between, right? We'll go over with Legs, and we'll get his opinion on what they look like and where they're at. So we have that. We'll also get you set for day two of the tournament. My guess is the Delaware Valley is a little loggy today after the first day of the tournament and St. Patrick's Day all in one. Good morning, Tunis.
What's up, man? How are you today?
Good, buddy.
I'm doing great, man. This is a beautiful day. Like you said, the Castellanos stuff is getting me fired up. I saw that yesterday, and it was already a great day with the first round of the tournament. It was a ton of fun to watch. But to see that, it just gives me hope. Because I was down, man, and so are you. I liked the Schwarber signing. I was not anti-Kyle Schwarber, but I was anti that being the final piece. Right? When I see Kyle Schwarber signs, I go, my immediate thought was, okay, so what's next? And then I see they're just $10 million away from the luxury tax, and God forbid they go into the luxury tax. So that just tells me, I guess, they're thinking about moving some other pieces around because, you know, Middleton.
You got no choice.
Yeah,
You got no choice. You got to go into the tax. That's the bottom line. You got to go into the tax. It's not piranha-filled water.
Right.
You're not going into a river in the Amazon, and you're going to get your leg chewed off. You got to do it because you have been so feeble in prospects in building a farm system. You got to pay for it.
Yeah, that's on you. That's on you. You got to make up after all the mistakes that you've made. It's like the Eagles in their draft, right? How many times have they spent big money on free agents, which I'm not against, but it was also out of necessity. And that's something what the Phillies have to do because of this Dreck farm system. Your outfield should be set right now after you basically tanked for 5 years, but it isn't. Adam Haseley falls apart. Mickey Moniak falls apart. Cornelius Randolph, I don't think ever even made it. Roman Quinn's out of here. All these guys stink. You bring back Odubel Herrera for cheap because you probably think that you can make a move down the road. So there's a possibility that you can bring in Castellanos. You're going to have to either go into the tax or make something work. I told you the other day, my buddy gave me that idea of maybe Didi gets shipped off to San Diego because they're going to be missing Fernando Tatis for half the season. So maybe he can play shortstop up until Tatis comes back, unless they just shift Machado over. I'm not sure exactly what they're going to do. But there is possibilities that Castellanos can come here. And if it's between the Phillies and Marlins, that would be an absolute joke if you get outbid by Miami.
Exactly.
I mean, they ship players away because they can't afford anyone. So they're going to give Castellanos a big contract.
And if you're Castellanos,
right,
where do you want to go? Listen, I get the whole South Beach thing, so I understand it's good living. I get it. But if you're talking about winning baseball, you got to want to come here and play with Bryce Harper.
Right.
And you got to trust that ownership. You look at the lineup. If you're Nick, you look at the lineup, you go, man, I'd like to be a part of that lineup.
Well, that's
man.
The other thing. He gets protection, right, with this lineup.
All day.
You go to Miami, you're by yourself, right? Miami always has a couple of nice guys that you go, wow, that would be great on my team. That would be great on another team. But you're not going to be protected in the lineup with the Miami Marlins. So you come here, you know, one night it's you that goes 3-for-4 with two bombs. The next night it's Harper who has two bombs. The next night it's Hoskins. Like, it's awesome. It's almost like the Sixers where Embiid's going to have the big night one night. Harden should have the big night one night. But it'll be like that with the Phillies in the middle of the order. And that's so exciting to me, man. And now you can get away with the Vierling / Odubel up until the trade deadline.
Listen,
when you can acquire someone.
I got no problem with that. And I agree with you. At the deadline, you go get a defensive center fielder.
Right.
They could come in and just play center. But I'm with you. That is such a game changer if you could possibly land him. Like, I was very excited thinking about this, the prospects, when last night when we left, because all the crazy news happened when we left.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we got done, and the Davante Adams, like, that's an amazing.
That's wild, dude.
And now, I mean, this also weakens still the NFC, and I started to think about Rodgers losing Adams.
He signs the contract, and they go, oh, thanks for signing. By the way, getting rid of your guy.
He had to know that, man. He had to know it. I can't
believe.
Yeah,
I don't see why they would do him dirty like that.
I mean, you can't. There's no way in the world you could do that deal and then, you know, pull the rug from under him. I mean, that's insane. But they did this deal, and if I'm Rodgers, why did you resign there if you're going to lose your biggest weapon? Their receivers were not that good outside of Adams.
No, it's Valdez Scantling, right? It's Alan Lazard. I mean, even he had the tight end a few years ago that they got rid of.
Yeah, Demir is all right, but he, you know, again, you know, you mentioned the lizard. You got the lizard, man. Come on now.
Yeah, I mean, they're okay receivers, and they get the added benefit of being with Davante Adams. And now you lose Davante Adams. I guess they have to do something either via trade or they'll probably spend a high draft pick on a wide receiver. That's my guess, that the Packers do something like that, because I can't believe it either, man. And it's football. The trades in football over the past half decade have been ridiculous. Like, we always talk about the hot stove in baseball being one of the most exciting times out of all the sports. That's actually taken a back seat to the NBA hot stove, and now the NFL hot stove is even more crazy. I mean, there's big moves being traded every single year. Look at the Rams last year. They were bringing all pro players.
I mean, it's amazing because you look at the Rams this year, and the fact, think about it, they go get another receiver, right? Another big-time receiver. And you're still in on OBJ.
Yeah, that's crazy. He'll come back at some point after his injury. I mean, there are some loaded teams, and
the West is unbelievable.
You know, will it hurt some of these teams down the road? Of course, but I don't care, man. Call it a microwave society, whatever you want. If you can make my team a super team for a couple of years, I'm all about it, man.
You got to go out and try to win this thing.
Yeah.
And look what the Bills did, getting Von Miller. Like, that's a great move by Buffalo.
That was a huge move. I thought he was going to be going back to Denver. There was all those reports that he was going to go back to Denver. Well, he kind of left it out there that he would be, but he didn't. And, you know, so he's not back. He now goes to Buffalo. Buffalo's already got a deep team, as we know. You know, I'm still shocked that they got rid of Cole Beasley, but you get Von Miller out of it, you know, on the other side of the ball. That's pretty good for Buffalo.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm very excited. Now, here's the thing. You got to be okay, and you and I are both okay. I've told you this before, that the birds are going to do. They're going to go slow. They're going to build this thing the right way. The Fletcher Cox move was part of the whole thing.
Yes.
And I know that people looked at it, and they're very upset. And listen, he was a great, great Eagle, Fletch. He really was. Now, there's still a chance he comes back, but I don't see it. There was not a market to trade for him. They were not getting a day one or a day two pick. I know that.
And that was the hope at the beginning, was a day two pick.
There were no offers. And listen, they tried to shop him, and there were no offers. My guess is he signs. It would make no sense to come back here. He's going to sign elsewhere. And I think, again, it's all part of their rebuild. And I'm okay with it. I think it's smart. Now's actually the perfect time to go and rebuild. You look at Fletch and you go, it's a big number.
Yeah.
And you know that let's be real, with Hurts as the quarterback, there's a limit to where you're going to go. This is a rebuild type of season.
Right, and a lot of people don't want to hear that when it comes to Jalen Hurts. You and I feel similarly about him, that he's not the guy moving forward. And I'll stand by it. If you brought in Russell Wilson, or even though I didn't want him, if you brought in Deshaun Watson, it's a totally different story with how you approach this, the rest of this offseason, and how you approach the draft and how you approach the future of the organization. But because you don't acquire any of those quarterbacks, or you're not going to acquire any of those quarterbacks, then you rebuild. I mean, why would we lie to ourselves? It was a fun year last year getting to the playoffs. The season in entirety wasn't fun, but it was fun that final stretch getting to the playoffs. But why do we ignore the fact, and by we, I mean a lot of people that are saying, well, they were in the playoffs last year, why won't they make the playoffs next year? Why do you ignore Garrett Gilbert? Why do you ignore Jake Fromm? Like, why do you ignore the injuries that you went up against?
Yeah, here's the problem. This is the difference between you and I. You listen to a lot of the rantings on social media.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
But again, you have to understand that you're a fan. That's what's in your heart. You're going, you know, we're better. We're better. You know, it's funny. Part of the show today, and I do want to discuss this as a topic, because I was listening to John today.
Okay.
And Johnny was talking about the Sixers. And it's so interesting because he was saying, they better show me tonight. They better show me against the Mavericks. And right now they're just who are they? They're just a team never been around past the second round. And they get all kinds of, the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
And he was very, very hard and very harsh on them. So what's my response, right, internally, as I'm listening to this, was, dude, relax, right? Like,
okay.
And it was not, for John or anything. It was more the fan inside me because, listen, we all want, I grew up here and you know that, and Andrew did, and the whole thing. But so you know where our heart lies and where mine has for all these years. As much as I try to look at it objectively, and I, because I'm always the sport first, but there's a part of me that will always react internally to being defensive. And I was getting defensive when I heard John. And that was really just the fan inside you. Right? That's just a fan. Because ultimately, he's right. I mean, what John said is, look, they need to achieve more. Now, I don't think tonight is...
End all, be all.
Until you get to the playoffs. I mean, the regular season is what it is. Now, you can glean certain things, but again, I'm not going to break a glass panic mode during the regular season. And there's things that we have talked about over the course of the week that we do think is real. I do believe that the lack of defense and depth is an issue. But all that said, the concept of fandom, like you're bringing up the Eagle, why Eagle fans didn't look deeply into the quarterbacks they faced. Now, some of them did. Some of them didn't. Because okay. You know why? They look at it and go, listen, that's my squad.
Right.
And I want to win. And that's what it is. And that's fine. To me, I completely understand. I understand that. Now, I think what the Eagles are doing is smart, because the way to build this thing now, look at the haves and have-nots. There's never been a greater disparity in the NFL between the super teams
right. And
the other teams.
Correct.
Look at them.
It's crazy right now.
I mean, look at the Rams and look at you. There is a huge difference. So it makes sense for Howie to repeal and not, listen, to just wait. You got to get a quarterback. You got to wait before you strike. It makes no sense. Listen, if they were getting Deshaun Watson or something like that.
Yeah, it changes things.
Right, but as is, they're not a contender. So you might as well build the thing so next year you could strike and you could build it. And if there is one of these big-name guys out there, you can land them.
Yeah, because I'll say this. There are bones, decent bones to good bones offensively. I'll say good to great, because you have an elite offensive line. I think Devontae Smith is going to be a very good wide receiver in this league. I really like Dallas Goedert. I know he still has his drop issues every once in a while, but he's a hell of a tight end. Let's be honest. Quarterback is what keeps you back offensively. That's what holds you back offensively, is quarterback and slot receiver right now. And slot receiver, you'll be able to figure that out at some point. Quarterback's the biggest one. Defense, obviously you have your issues, because your best pass rusher is an aging, coming off of an injured season in Brandon Graham, right? Because I like Josh Sweat's a nice player, but I don't get my rocks off to Josh Sweat. Yeah, I mean, that was a great sign.
Hassan Reddick was.
And it's a good deal. You're 3 years, so that means he should be here.
Hassan Reddick is legitimate, man.
Yeah,
and
he is.
Sweat, and I think they improved.
Okay. And then you have Darius Slay, which is awesome. But, like it kind of sucks, right? Because Darius Slay has been fantastic. And I don't know if it's because of those two games where he got cooked by DK Metcalf 2 years ago. I feel like Darius Slay doesn't get that much love that he deserves. And it kind of sucks that this is year three of his 3-year contract coming up. And I'm not saying it was a waste of time.
Look, you're going to have to rebuild.
I mean,
you know, that's it.
It would be awesome if this was year one of Darius Slay, right? No, but this is coming up final season, and
yeah,
you didn't win anything. You weren't really a serious contender.
Yeah, but you'll have cap, and you have all the draft capital, and you'll have cap capital.
Yep.
You'll get somebody. Darius Slay leaves, you'll get another big name corner. He knows.
Yeah.
First of all, he knows how to land free agents, and I do think he's a good team builder. I do. I think he knows how to build the team. We could talk drafts all we want.
Yeah, right.
But I think as a team builder, I think he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, I think he's always made good free agent signings, like legit free agent signings.
He addresses
Eric Wilson, but like actual signings.
And he addresses the important parts of a foundation. That is defensive line, offensive line.
Yep.
And and cornerback.
It just comes down to it. You said it. We can talk drafts till we're blue in the face, but that is a big part of it. And we'll see what they end up doing with the three picks they have this year. You've talked about moving two to the future for months now. So we'll see what they end up doing come April. It'll be fascinating, because this is going to be a very interesting draft for the Eagles. Even if they only come away with one player, it's going to be a fascinating draft to see what they end up doing. What's their strategy?
Yeah, it is. And I also, today is going to be a fun day, and you know, we'll get into the day two of the tournament, and Legs will get on, we'll talk Sixers and the whole thing, because it's a big three games at home. You got Dallas tonight, Toronto Sunday, and of course Miami on Monday night.
Yep.
But one of the things I want to do is, we have a great Greek community here, all right? And I love that culture, the Greek culture. So I need help getting Castellanos.
Okay.
All right. We have, you know, again, Detroit has a huge Greek community, but we have a good community here. And I need Greek callers to help out. Listen, it's a close-knit culture. I think we can use our inroads of our Greek brothers and sisters.
We got to get George on the phone.
Right.
Remember, he was cooking the lamb.
Yes.
And it didn't work out.
But we got to get... We got to get him for Castellanos.
Yes.
And I think it would be a big deal.
I like that.
All right. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. That's how you reach us. It's Cuz Radio with the Chunas. We're live at the fabulous Parks Casino and Sportsbook right here, Street Road, Ben Salem. Man, I love it, man. This is a great spot for the tournament. The TVs are already fired up. Look, you're getting ready for that spring cleanup. You're getting ready to move or organize the garage, the attic. If that sounds like you, let me tell you about the perfect cleanup solution for all these projects and much, much more. It's the Bagster. The Bagster, by far the most convenient and affordable way to help with your cleanup. The Bagster is just such a great product. It's a three-cubic yard dumpster in a bag, sold at Home Depot, Lowe's, all your local hardware stores, and it holds 3,300 pounds of waste. I mean, it can handle those jobs for just $29.99. That's right. That's only $29.99. The bags are easy to use, whatever your cleanup plans are. Again, it might be the garage, might be the basement, you might be doing some remodeling, landscaping. Whatever it is, the Bagster bag can handle it. Go buy it, fill it, schedule your collection, and poof, it's gone. No time limits, completely on demand. Go to thebagster.com to find the store nearest you for more details. Anthony Gargano telling you to clean up the Bagster dumpster in the back.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Back live at the fabulous Parks Casino inside the Liberty Bell Beer Garden. Man, I love this. This is a great spot, man. What a spot. Hanging out as we get ready for the day two of the tournament. We'll go over the schedule in just a little bit. But it's funny. So my man, Euro John, right, says to me that Nick Castellanos is not Greek.
Oh, is that true? He would know.
I go, wait a second. Nick Castellanos is not Greek? How can that possibly be? That's going to foil my plan, man. He's not. First of all, Nick, man, you can't get more Greek.
Nico.
Than right.
I was just watching The Wire.
Yes.
Second season, the
yes.
Greek.
Yes. Right. And then you have, Nico. So you have that. And Castellanos, I mean, it just sounds completely Greek to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, it does. It does sound Greek, but apparently not, man. So no Greek.
That's
characters.
What, again, that's what Euro John will tell you. Looked it up. So I don't know if it's true or not. I'm not sure.
So what's plan B? Hey, you want to play with Bryce Harper?
I need this, man. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I mean.
I got to get this.
We can find other ways. You know, hey, Philadelphia's great. It's a great city.
No, but
more fun than Cincinnati.
But listen, I was excited, man.
You know what we got?
Because I like a lot of the Greek. I love the Greek culture.
You know what we got? We got Joe Bell. Joe Bell's from Cincinnati. So maybe Joe can make a call.
Yeah, yeah.
He'll go, hey, Nick.
Yeah, I'm here.
Nick.
Yeah.
Philadelphia's better than Cincinnati.
Dude, look at the lineup. If you put him in, I don't mean to get too nuts with it, but.
Dude, you could go lefty, righty, lefty.
I know.
Since when have they been able to do that? But like
with
talent, not Bryce Reese Didi.
With real yeah, run producers.
You go Schwarber. Now listen, I always want JT in the two hole, but I know they never do it for some odd reason. So it's probably gonna be what? Schwarber, Hoskins, Harper, Castellanos, JT.
Yeah, see, here's the thing.
Dude.
I wouldn't put Hoskins too.
Yeah, I'm team JT too, but they've never done it.
He's such a much better two hole hitter.
Yeah, because he goes gaps.
And Reese should be five.
Yes,
That's how you should play.
That's what I want, but it don't listen to me. You know.
Well, listen. I'm going to
advanced analytics.
First of all, what analytics will show you that JT is not a good number two hitter?
I don't know. They batted him fourth at times last year. A lot.
Listen, you would have. I think it makes perfect sense to have Hoskins five, right? You got Castellano. You have Harper and Castellanos.
Yeah, and then you get to Bohm sixth, right? And so you're at that point, the pitcher's like, all right, I got through the first five. Let me throw a fastball down the pipe.
Yeah, and then you let Bohm go to work. Right, if anything, how much that's going to help him.
Yeah, and then, you know, because we're now in the year of the DH, if Bohm's your sixth hitter, listen, I'll get by with Didi batting seventh if he's still the everyday shortstop.
Yeah.
And then the only question is, all right, Vierling would bat ninth the days that he's playing. Odubel would bat eighth because you don't want to go the lefty-lefty, 8-9-9 back up to one with Schwarber. So on the days that Odubel was playing, he's your eight hitter. You'd have to make something work with Didi. Didi would probably bat sixth. You go Bohm seven, Odubel eight, Gene nine, and then you're back to the top with Schwarber. That way you can protect the lefty-righty.
I know, man. He would be. That lineup would be perfect.
Like, if Gene's your ninth hitter, dude, and he's hitting around 300, and he's getting on base for Schwarber, when you go back to the top of the lineup, and now he is a man on, I mean, that's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. The problem with Castellanos is he's from South Florida.
Yeah, I know it's his hometown, but.
You know, I mean, that's an issue.
Is Miami going to pay?
I mean, you have to draw. And by the way, they have some good young talent.
They do. They always have good young talent. And then they ship them off. And then you had an outfield of Ozuna, Yelich, and Stanton at one time.
Yeah.
Think about that. And they're all gone.
I know. Well, guess what? If you're them and you get your hometown kid wants to come home, You have to. If you want a single fan in the stadium, you got to pay him.
Right. Now, I saw a week ago that Jeter actually, I think, wanted Castellanos. And now he's no longer there. So I think there was a differing of opinion. I think Jeter wanted to go after a big player because he probably wanted to win. And the organization was probably like, oh, no, we can't afford that. Well, so maybe that's a good sign.
You know, listen. You know, right now we'll just hope. We'll see. We'll keep you abreast of the situation, and because I think it's a make or break deal for the Phillies this season.
Yeah, because if you don't make that move, you are competing with the Marlins to not finish last. Because the Mets have the best rotation in baseball, arguably.
And by the way, an aggressive owner.
Yeah, very.
That's not afraid
owner.
Of any contracts,
correct,
or any big names that you would pick up at the deadline.
The Braves just won the World Series, and before you say, well, they lost Freddie Freeman. Yeah, they did, but they bring in Matt Olson. They get Eddie Rosario back. They're going to have Mike Soroka come back at some point from his injury. I like that they brought in Colin McHugh because he can be a spot starter for them. He can pitch out of the bullpen for them. He's had a good career except for when he was coming off of an injury. Like, I like what the Braves have done this offseason. They've been pretty good even with losing Freddie Freeman. The Nationals, they're still going to have Juan Soto. They're still going to have Nelson. You know, they bring in Nelson Cruz, so they're going to have a bit of firepower in that offense. So now what? Now it's the Phillies. And they have a decent start to a core. But if you bring in Castellanos, like you said, you become a contender, especially now with the added playoff teams.
Immediately.
Like, I saw somebody tweeted at me last night, like, oh, wow, of course you want Castellanos. Have fun watching this defense. I go, all right, well, when they went 10-9, 4 days out of the week, that's awesome.
Again, what is your alternative, all right? You're already, the way you're lined up defensively, that's not going to change.
It's already not good.
So, for any hope this season, you got to bash. You got to have a lineup. And again, you play in a park like that one, like Citizens Bank Park.
Right.
It's going to be a perfect lineup. That'll be a perfect lineup for that.
Yeah, you can just bash. And again, you know, the dreams of the protecting the lefty righty, which you haven't really been able to do in recent years. I mean, it is a wonder that Bryce Harper was as good as he was last year.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah.
he lost Rhys Hoskins, which was a part of your line of protection. JT Realmuto was hurt all season long. Didi was a mess all season long. Think about, they had to rely on a game from Luke Williams. Like, these random players that had to come up.
They were horrible.
And Bryce Harper.
Well, that's why, again, if you have a
lineup. Carried that team.
Yeah, I mean, that's why if you have, that's why he became the MVP. Because the last 2 months, he hit, really, for the last 2.5 months of that season.
Yeah, this, I remember his slugging the last 2 months was like 1,200. And the rest of the team, Phillies combined, was like 600 or 700.
Yeah,
think about that. He doubled the rest of the team's slugging.
It was really, really impressive what he did the last couple, 2.5 months of the season. It really, really was. All right, real quick. So we're going to go over the day two of the tournament. You know, we're going to do, we're going to wind up doing that in just a moment. But yesterday, the biggest upset, and this was a monumental upset.
Crazy.
It's the boys from Jersey, St. Pete. That's it, St. Peter's. With the monumental upset over Kentucky.
Yeah, and you know what's cool? That, you know, my wife was actually watching some of the games with me yesterday, and she was locked in on the St. Peter's game. Like, my when my wife, who doesn't watch sports at all, is locked in and is, like, clapping for when St. Peter scored buckets, like, you know that that game's exciting. So that was cool yesterday. It was a cool moment to actually be able to enjoy, you know, a sporting event with her. But that was so much fun, man. I don't understand people who are anti-upset when it comes...
especially the first day.
Well, when it comes down to...
215?
Yeah, and...
I mean, that's what it's supposed
to
be.
St. Peter's is not going to be in the Final Four, right? I get wanting the Final Four to be the four most talented teams. St. Peter's isn't going
to
be there.
By the way, if you pay attention a little bit right now, the landscape has really evened out.
Yeah.
There are the blue bloods aren't the blue bloods.
Right.
They're really not. You know, when Gonzaga's a blue blood, you know, Kentucky,
they struggled a little bit yesterday until they ran.
See, their problem, the problem when you face them is that they have they can explode and they give you an avalanche.
Yeah, what was it? It was like 65-65 at one point, and then they just ran away with it and won like 90-70 something.
Yeah, yeah. They were and again, it was amazing because it was a 2-point game.
Yeah.
And it was funny, it's one of the guys here, because I was here at Parks, had them laying 22.5, and they were covering that. They were actually up 27. And they wound up not covering by half a point.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So here's the bottom line: when you look at those upsets, the CBS ranked the top 10 upsets. Now, see if you remember any of these.
Of all time. Oh, that's cool.
These are the early rounders. Like these, like a 15-2 is a big monster.
Florida Gulf Coast has got to be
so,
on there.
All right, so you ready? You got Norfolk State beats Missouri in 2012,
okay,
15-2. You got Coppin State over South Carolina. I remember this game.
Coppin State.
Yeah, 1997. It was another 15-2. And it was like a shot. Like, oh, my God. Because back then, especially,
yeah,
you didn't have upsets. Nowadays, because of the state of college basketball and all the one-and-dones and everything, back then it was huge.
And there's also so much athleticism now in sports, right?
Right.
Where you can have like an extremely athletic team and they just weren't recognized, and that's why they didn't go to Duke or Kentucky or anything like that.
Another 15-2, Richmond beats Syracuse, and there'll be guys my age. That was 91 that we remember the Spiders. That's when you first realized who the Richmond Spiders were. The Florida Gulf Coast game
against UConn.
That's it. There it was.
That was fun because all they did was dunk.
That was a great
that was
game.
So much fun, man.
That was an amazing. When they beat Georgetown like that, That was incredible. That was so much fun, and they were great.
Other thing is the way these teams can shoot now, because the 3-point basket is. It's so big. I mean, that last night, St. Peter's was drilling threes. That the dude with the stash, Uncle Frank tweeted us saying the porno stash messed up his entire bracket.
I know. Jason Stark, hot off the presses. The Phillies, look at you, Pat, banging your fingers in your pen.
What do we got?
The Phillies in serious pursuit of Nick Castellanos.
Dude.
Castellanos would put the Phillies well over the tax threshold, but they appear to view him as a big enough difference maker to justify it. Schwarber could, Castellanos would push Schwarber to DH, and then he said at John Morosi was on it. That's a big deal. Thanks to Scott, my boy Scott, for hitting me up with that
now,
one.
Now the question is, can Alec Bohm survive at third base?
Yeah, but once you have...
Well, right, but I'm saying, I mean, if he's like a negative nine,
okay, well,
right,
yeah, I mean,
then you move the DD to third.
Listen, you figure it out. That's just figure out stuff. If you're going to give me Castellanos, Harper, Realmuto, Hoskins, Schwarber.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, you give me those five.
I'll put Ronald Torres at third base.
Right. It doesn't matter
right
where you got, because you have those five. And Castellanos is a real run producer, which if you followed him in Cincinnati,
yeah.
I know we were talking about, the morning show was talking about Schwarber versus Castellanos and the numbers. And, you know, and I think Castellanos is a much better run producer than Schwarber. I think even though the numbers, if you look at the numbers home run-wise, in fact, Schwarber hit two more over the last year. But Castellanos is a doubles guy.
Yep.
He's an even bigger run producer.
Okay, love that, man. And he's going to sit right in the middle of your order, man. You put Schwarber leadoff and let's go.
Oh, man.
Dude.
That could be just...
That excites me.
That's just thrilling.
Yeah,
absolutely thrilling. Oh, my God.
And that's why when the Schwarber move happened, I was like, yeah, I like that, but what's next?
Yeah.
And now this is the possible what's next, and that's going to be huge, dude. Now all of a sudden, that is a game-changing move right there. Season-changing move.
All right, so then let me get back to the top 10 because I just want to finish it. You remember Oral Roberts?
Yes, that was last year.
Yeah, Oral Roberts beats Ohio State last year.
I remember a lot of people were saying that Ohio State was a fraudulent two
right
seed. I remember that.
They were, but to lose to Oral Roberts, people were shocked.
We had somebody that called in last year and told us to take Oral Roberts.
Yeah.
Like, I remember that.
Yeah.
He was
yeah
like, dude, trust
yeah
me. I've been
yeah
watching them. Ohio yeah State's fraudulent. Go with Oral Roberts.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, dude.
How about this? You don't remember this, but 93 Santa Clara takes out Arizona. And Arizona was a two seed. That's when they got labeled as the chokers.
Okay.
Lute Olson was the coach. And you know who was on the bench for Santa Clara?
Who?
Steve Nash.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was wild. Middle Tennessee beats Michigan State. That was a big one. That was in 2016.
Okay.
That was another 15-2.
Yeah, that was Izzo. I remember
right
all the talk in the world about Tom Izzo. And they get upset like that, yep.
This one, the St. Peter's, Kentucky. That's so cool, though, St. Peter's, man. That's so
Jersey City, man. Yeah, that's awesome.
3,500 students.
Yeah, they said that yesterday, undergrads. I was like, what?
Yeah, yeah, 3,500 students.
I was trying to talk to Christy about it, right? Because she was like, all right, what's so big about the 15-2 upset, right? So I'm trying to explain to her. It's only happened like 10 times in the history of the tournament. 85 was when they expanded it to the 64 teams. So I was like, think about it. There's four 15-2 matchups per year since 1985, except for the year that COVID ended, you know, canceled the tournament.
That's right.
And so it doesn't happen often. And then I started thinking, imagine, you know, she went to Bloomsburg, right? I was like, imagine if Bloomsburg won a game against Duke. Like, how crazy your school would be going. Because it's not like Bloomsburg was a high-caliber basketball team. Imagine being a student at St. Peter's.
People around here remember this. That Lehigh, which was the great... In 2012...
Yeah.
Lehigh...
Brown jerseys, right?
Beats Duke. That was one of the greatest games. That was amazing. That's number two overall. That was unbelievable. You remember who was at Lehigh? Come on, man. Who beat Duke that day?
Us.
At current NBA.
CJ McCollum.
Yes. CJ was a monster. A monster. And, of course, number one The number one was UMBC.
Yep, 16 seed. All
right.
Time.
And the amazing thing about that was they beat Virginia not by at the buzzer, yeah, not by two or three. They beat them by 20.
Yeah, they crushed them,
that was,
man.
That was in 2018.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was incredible.
I'm all about that, man. Day one, why not?
I don't understand why. And by the way, my UCLA boys almost went down eight. They had to escape.
I was scared last night. I was watching that game, man. I'm like, oh, boy.
Yeah. But, you know, again, I don't know why you don't like it.
It's awesome. Because here's you lose to a 16 seed. You don't deserve to be in the Final Four.
Yeah.
Come on, man. That means you would have lost to the next game you played.
Yeah. All right. We're trying to get our phone lines fixed. So our computer. And hopefully that'll happen during the break. So we'll do that. And then I want to go over the early card. We got legs coming up. Castellanos, how are you guys feeling about that? That's very real. Also, I know there's a report about a certain safety from Kansas City by way of LSU.
Okay.
And I got some, I have an update on that.
Oh, the Scanlon. The Scanlon gave us Oral Roberts last year.
Yes, yeah. The Scanlon.
Scanlon was
on fire and fuego. We're live at the great Parks Casino and Sportsbook, Street Road, Ben Salem, the Liberty Bell Beer Garden. You heard me talking about one of my favorite appetizers recently. We talk about it all the time. Those delicious egg rolls from my buddies at the Gourmet Egg Roll Company. Listen, the college basketball championship is upon us, right? Bar, restaurant, pizza shop owners, you got to get this winning item on the menu. These are high-quality egg rolls, little to no prep for your staff. Taste ridiculous, so fresh, so delicious, created right here in Philadelphia. They have a variety of premium restaurant-quality egg rolls, like the classic, and you can't beat them, cheesesteak egg roll, made with premium, real Philadelphia-style steak, melted cheese, the buffalo chicken. That egg roll is ridiculous. Chicken marinated in buffalo sauce, a hint of blue cheese. Here's what you got to do. They also have the pizza roll, which is awesome. Go to geteggrolls.com. Geteggrolls.com. See their full list of flavor options. Call your food distributor rep. Ask for the Gourmet Egg Roll Company. Egg rolls, big Philly flavor in the palm of your hand.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Live from Parks Casino Street Road, Ben Salem. We're an hour away from tip-off, and we're going to get you set for the schedule. I got some Big Brain Brad's picks
nice.
To go your way, so we'll do that. But one of the things, I do want to get some phone calls because we can do that now. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Castellanos is, again, the big story. That's going to be really interesting. Jason Stark was talking about it. He's like, listen, signing Castellanos would create more defensive issues for the Phillies. But he said, listen, they're way too far down that rabbit hole already. So here's what Girardi would have these options. Castellanos could be DH, left field, right field, third base. Schwarber, left field, DH. Hoskins, first base DH. Boehm, third base, first base DH.
Mm-hmm.
And Castellanos can go to right field when Harper is the DH.
Yeah, I'm all about it, man. I mean, you're going to do the occasional Schwarber in left field day to give somebody some, you know, some rest in the legs, which I'm all about. That's good. For the most part, he will be the DH. Castellanos came up as a third baseman. He was terrible at third base. We talk about Bone being a butcher at third base. So
I don't. I would not want him at third.
Yeah, I love Jason Stark. He could have kept that. He could have kept the 3B off of the tweet there because Castellanos. We talk about Bone being bad. He might be worse. So let's not even think about that. If anything, the days that Bone doesn't play third base, you're going to have some random guy off the bench playing third base. But they all have it now. Like Morosi. Is tweeting. I'm hearing the same thing as Jason Stark. John Heyman is tweeting. Heyman's tweet is a little bit different. He says the Phillies are among teams trying for Nick Castellanos. Red Sox, Padres, others also have interest. Now, that I don't know if that's agent driven to try to, you know, raise the price for Castellanos.
Where you want to throw the Red Sox in. I thought the Red Sox would be in on Freeman.
Yeah, I thought so too. I mean, he made perfect sense going there.
You know, instead going to the Dodgers. But we'll see. We'll keep you abreast because we're very, very excited for this. Let's get a couple calls because I'm curious what you guys think of that, where the Eagles are and in that state of rebuild, especially with all the wild news going on with the NFL. And dude, Tasty Cake Dom sends me this, right? One of our fine listeners.
Yes.
Talking about Fletcher Cox. It's Dalk all over again.
No.
I'm out on these bums. I'm now 3-for-3 bums, Ant. I mean, really?
Yeah, no. Listen, I
don't agree with that.
Fletcher Cox got a lot of attention from offensive linemen, and they would, you know, sometimes double-team him. But you know what happened second half of the season, Ant? They started double-teaming Javon Hargrave because he was a beast. And they stopped double-teaming Fletcher Cox. And I thought when that happened, he'd have a little bit of a resurgence. He didn't.
I don't have an issue. You know, it's funny. I like Fletch a lot.
Yeah, I think he's very talented.
But he's not, like, to me, he was not Dawkins.
Mm-mm.
I you know, he's a terrific player. But I never had the affinity of Dawkins with Fletcher Cox. No. So I'm curious. Usually I can read the room pretty well, and I have a good sense of what the Philadelphia fan is thinking and feeling. Is there that kind of hue and cry for Fletcher Cox? And to me, it makes sense. Like, again, you're trying right now to kind of retool this thing, so I'm fine with kind of moving on here.
I wonder if some of it has to do with the Super Bowl, right? He was one of the guys that was here on the team. I'm sure that has something to do with it. I mean, the day that Brandon Graham's not here, people are going to be hurt by it, you know, whenever that day comes. Hopefully he can retire here.
But like, you know,
that'd be great.
But even BG, you're already degreasing the pole for it. You know what I mean? Like, you're already down that road. So it's not like it. Dawkins was a big difference. Like, Dawkins still could play. Dawkins, they had no other body to fill else to fill the shoes.
He was a fan favorite. Like Fletcher Cox.
A Dawk is an all-timer.
Yeah, is Fletcher Cox a top 10 favorite Eagle all-time?
And again,
people?
He could still play. He could he still had another year or two in Denver where he was effective.
Yeah. Like, I would be more upset, not emotionally.
And he was a Mr. Eagle.
Right. I'd be more upset, not emotionally, but from a football standpoint, if they moved on from Hargrave, right? Because he's actually still got he's still got a lot left in the tank.
You know, and maybe it could be the Mr., you know, again, the Mr. Eagle thing, but
Super Bowl.
Yeah, I always thought Dawkins was Mr. Eagle.
Because if you think about it, the Super Bowl team is dwindling, right? You're starting to lose last couple guys. And
you know, again, 4 years in the NFL is a long time.
Right, so I don't know if that has something to do with it. You're coming to the end of the era. A lot of guys have either retired or moved on to other teams. I don't know. I don't think Fletcher Cox is a total difference maker. It's going to be sad to see him leave, right? Because he has been here his entire career.
Well, that's my question. Is, are you broken up over it?
No.
You know, and that's kind of what certainly I hear from Tasty Cake Dom. And that surprises me because I can read the room a little bit. All right, let's get to the phone lines. John is in the Lehigh Valley. Hello, John.
Anthony, I love you. How are you?
What's going on, buddy?
Hey, we talked. I work. I'm the vendor from Hers in the Lehigh Valley. We talked during the last summer.
Yeah, sure.
And I called in and talked to the young lady on the phone just to explain to you that Castellanos isn't Greek because I'm Greek.
No, I know he's Cuban. Yeah.
No, let me give you a history lesson real quick, and Chulis might understand this. The Greek names usually end in I-O-S, I-A-S.
Yeah.
Usually they have that, but I just wanted, I was like, he can't go
well,
on.
Chulis is Lithuanian.
Yeah, well, he can understand that, though, because we're, you know, not that far away.
Valanciunas, Salciunas, yeah, I got you.
Yeah, right, Chulis, that's it. But I was like, I love Ant too much. I've known you for, I've been listening to you for God knows.
Yeah, I don't know why I got that in my head other than the name Nick and Castellanos.
Yeah. Well, it's probably short for Nicholas, but listen, yeah, would love it. I would love it if they do get him. I think Harper has a lot to do with what's going on. And out of all the people saying the rumors, I trust the Hall of Famer Jason Stark. Heyman is always vague, and most of the time he's wrong. But
had Harper a couple of years ago.
No, listen, they're in it. I mean, this is legitimate.
Yeah,
you know,
he's 1 for 10, Chulis. You know what I mean? But no, but listen, I if it happens, it happens. And like you said about the defense, yeah, there's butchers all over the infield. I think, do you move Segura to third? But the only thing is with his arm with the relay on a double play or from the outfield, you're losing that. You know,
he's not a third baseman.
Listen, baseball's my first love. Like I said, I have season tickets to the Sixers. We talked about that before, but baseball's my first love. The thing is, that's my concern and a lot of questions. But you put that bat in the line. I mean, it reminds me of the Rangers.
Yes.
The Rangers always had the hackers and never the pitching. But you know what? Like you said, let's go. You know?
Look, in this ballpark, the way you're built,
absolutely.
John, it just makes perfect sense. It's great to talk to you, buddy. It really is. Really is. I look at it and I go, you're pitching. Listen, your starters could be decent. I mean, you got, you know, Wheeler is legitimate, right? So your starting rotation could be fine.
Yeah, I just hope his arm's all right.
Yeah.
And he felt good. Here's the thing. He felt good in his first bullpen, and then he got the flu.
Right.
So that kind of, like, it was a good sign that he felt good, you know, throwing off the mound, but then, of course, he gets the flu. But, yeah, I mean, your rotation's not, it's not terrible. And it's, now, a lot of it lies on Nola. What Aaron Nola do you get? I think he's going to be better this year than what he was last year. Now, you also know how I feel about him. I don't think he's like a stud, but I don't think he's a 4-5 ERA guy.
Right,
which he had last. I mean, he was awful last season.
Well, the other thing is, I was talking to somebody today, and he liked it where the bullpen, how the bullpen looked. He was much more hopeful that the bullpen could be better.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear. I mean, you've brought in more power arms, which the Phillies were late to the party on that. You've brought in veteran arms, which the Phillies were late to the party on that. I mean, last year you had, you know, J.D. Hammer. You had Christopher Sanchez. I mean, they tried everybody on God's green earth to try to come out of the pen last year. It was all these young kids that just weren't ready yet. And so you brought in some veteran arms, which... Listen, Familia is a worry. Alvarado is always a worry, but when he's on, he is very talented. The thing that I'm excited about the most is Sir Anthony Dominguez, honestly. Like, who is he? It'll be interesting to see who Sir Anthony Dominguez is.
Yep.
And that could be an acquisition.
Yep.
Right?
Let's go to Nick. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Nick.
Gentlemen, how are you guys?
Nick, hey, what do you say, buddy?
Three quick hitters before I get into my Sixers point. I know you don't want to do Sixers today.
No,
you always want to do Sixers. I know. First of all, we need some Scanlon info. It's already late in the NCAA tournament time, and there's no Scanlon.
Where's Scanlon at?
Yeah, where's the Scan?
We need the Scanlon, man. We need the Scanlon locks.
He's two gems so we can all go Christmas shopping early.
He probably had St. Peter's yesterday.
Probably. Let me see something. The Parks app, you had your guy, the guy who helped develop it yesterday on your 6 o'clock show. What they've done from the previous app to this one is amazing. It's light and day. It's like we used to have dial up internet to, you know, Wi-Fi now. It's just amazing how they upgraded it so much. So I'm enjoying that the last 2 days. Now, I don't want to go Chicken Little, but I'm getting there. I'm getting more nervous. Let me ask you a question about the Sixers, Dan.
Yeah.
What's the one thing they do really well?
They can score.
They can. Okay. I mean,
they're going to score
during the first five games. That's what I thought. Because that's the only thing they can do.
I mean, offense really isn't an issue.
Okay. I mean,
you think it is?
I think. They're showing some crack because they don't defend well. They don't transition well. They slow the game down because I understand because Harden and Joel are going to dominate the ball. They've also dominated in turnovers because they dominate the balls. And every loss they've had, they had some terrible turnover numbers. But
you are chicken little, aren't you, Nicky? Yeah.
I'm starting because before the first five games, like, wow, this is great. This is great. I thought it would just progress slowly and get slightly better and better. But it seems like every game we play now, it becomes more and more of a struggle to... I mean, Cleveland was shorthanded the other day, and they almost lose that game if they don't get a couple foul calls. I'm getting nervous.
Yeah, I think there are real issues, and I do believe that, you know, defensively and depth are your two biggest issues that you're dealing with. I think you really got to at least... give it some time just because. See, I think we expect it to be an escalator ride, right, Nick? Where it's like, it's getting better, and it's in increments. And sometimes it doesn't work that way. Like, they had initial success right away, and the Brooklyn game was what it was, right? The Brooklyn game was a disaster, right?
And I don't care about the Miami game. I mean, Orlando game.
Yeah. And listen, I mean, you know, I do think. And I'm not telling you it's all, you know, rosy. Like, they are not good defensively. And they got to get better up top with their guards better defensively. They have to. Listen, I agree with that.
Yeah, and I don't know if in a seven-game series when coaches get to adjust and focus on specific aspects of the Sixers, which is the only thing, again, they do well is score. And once they start to...
Oh, they do a little bit more. Now, I think we can shortchange. I mean, I think you're in complete, you know, Chicken Little mode, which I get. I mean, I'm not, you know, telling you you're crazy for it. I think it's better than what it is, brother.
I don't know who has less tools in the shed, in a toolbox. Bomb. What's the name of third or the Sixers? Like, they're one tool player right now.
I don't know. And Nicky, good stuff. I know how you feel. I'm not there. I'm really not. Again, I think there's a huge middle ground. I really do. I don't think it's time to break the glass. It's, oh, my God, it's over, it's over, it's over. I don't see it. I see some concern, and I am worried about depth, and I do worry about defense. But let them at least play together. Listen, when they're playing and they have their roles, I mean, they're good. That's a good team. It's a better team than they were pre-Harden trade. They didn't have a chance to win pre-Harden.
No. Why can't we allow Doc Rivers and the Sixers to continue to play the game of chess? I said it when they were 5-0 that at some point a team is going to make an adjustment. And they will find out a way to try to slow down the Sixers. And then the Sixers would have to combat against that. Just like baseball, where pitchers figure out, you know, the hitter that comes up, Dom Brown, and he's hitting home runs every at-bat. And then they go, oh, this dude can't hit a high fastball, so we're going to throw fastballs up. And then it's up to Dom Brown to adjust his path, and he never did that. The Sixers can make adjustments still.
Yeah, but I think it's less about adjustments and more about just everybody figuring out their role.
Well, exactly. That's right? Part of it.
You know, again, you have the Brooklyn game, and the Brooklyn game was a disaster. And then post the Brooklyn game, they've been really trying to focus in on getting the ball to Tobias,
yes.
Right? So then you had the Tobias situation, and then you have, all right, well, you know, Maxie's been struggling, so what do you got to make sure he gets the ball. Meanwhile, you got Harden, who's been very tentative,
mm-hmm.
Right? Who has not been, he's been too unselfish. I just think everybody's got to relax and allow them to figure out those roles. Now, again, that doesn't mean the depth is not an issue and the defense is not an issue.
Right. But, you know, you saw, what was it, three straight games of poor transition defense. So the last game, they against the Cavs, they only allowed 17 transition points. So they made an emphasis to get back on defense. So they're going to find out areas of weakness. Now, you're not going to fix the depth. That's not going to change unless somebody miraculously steps up, like Shake Milton all of a sudden finds life, or Furkan Korkmaz starts hitting threes again. Like, that's the only way you're going to improve with the depth, because I don't think the rotations really change all that much. I mean, Doc's going to do some things here and there to try to fix things, but the depth is the depth. What you can do is...
See, and one of the problems, I think, with the depth is, I think, yeah, do they need somebody else besides, you know, the other guard? Like, we talk about Milton and Korkmaz, without a doubt.
Yeah.
But, you know, and a buddy of mine who's in the know said he was, you know what worries me the most, and he's not wrong, the lack of a big man depth. Because DeAndre Jordan is...
He's getting 2 inches up off the ground.
I mean, he looks washed.
Yeah, and it's kind of sad, right? Because you think about his days with Lob City,
yeah,
and you're like, man, that guy used to be able to get an extra 10 feet up off the ground.
He does. He looks washed. It's scary.
Like, you put a little paper under his feet when he jumps up at this point. And that's not good, because they're trying the lob game with Harden. Like, you saw it a lot last game, actually, where Harden was lobbing it to Jordan. And I think they only... You know, they locked up on one. Like, I think they only finished one.
The problem is that when Joe's out of the game, you got nothing.
Right. And that's why they go on runs, the opposing
team. When he's out of that game.
But that's when you need James Harden to put his foot on the gas pedal.
Yeah, but from a big standpoint.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, from that.
And that's why people, you know, look at Charles Bassey and all these other options and B-ball Paul.
Well, the other problem is that, you know, you look at Tobias. He's a four who's really a 3-4, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you don't really have, and that's why people were excited, I thought, because they looked and they went, all right, you finally got a big man with Drummond backing up Embiid. But again, it goes back to, like, what are you going to do? You got to give something up. You're going to get Harden.
Are you going to keep Drummond and not have Harden?
You got to deal with it, right? You got to deal with it. I think they thought that they were going to get more out of the buyout.
Yeah,
They were going to get better.
I mean, the amount of names we heard as potential buyouts. I mean, listen, dude,
you were in the room. We had Daryl Morey on the show, and I had a long conversation with Daryl.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's, you know, again, they were hoping to kind of just tweak it. Yeah. All right, we got Tony. You're coming up, and then we got some open lines. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. By the way, David Ojabo, now you know he's one of the edge guys,
yes,
from Michigan, just got hurt at Michigan's pro day and limped off the field with the help of trainers, according to Adam Schefter.
That sucks.
That's a big deal, because that also... That pushes stuff back to the Eagles.
Right, exactly. That sucks.
All right, 610-632-0975. We are live at the fabulous Liberty Bell Beer Garden, Parks Casino, Street Road, Bensalem. Let's talk a little NJ Dye. Finally, right, baseball season's here. We're actually real excited about it, too. Teams are at spring training now, getting into shape. Guess what? You could do the same thing. Yeah, you could still be slimmer before summer. It only takes 40 days to lose a contractually guaranteed 20 to 40 plus pounds with NJ Diet. NJ Diet's program starts with bioenergetically personalized supplements based on your hair, saliva, and blood work. Then NJ Diet uses DNA testing to create your ideal diet and workout regimen to keep the weight off. You don't want to do it alone. NJ Diet's with you every step of the way. You'll fully be monitored by their certified staff to make sure you're burning fat and not just losing water. You'll get the doctor's personal email and the phone number, all right? NJ Diet's all natural. There are no shots and no hormones, no dreaded prepackaged foods, no surgery, locations, Newark, Delaware, King of Prussia, Cherry Hill, or from home with live online video consultations. Just call 855-5NJ-DIET, 855-5NJ-DIET, or go to njdiet.com. Lose the weight for good. That's njdiet.com.
Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
7-5, The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back. Day two about to commence, and we got to go over the schedule for today.
Yes.
And also coming up in an hour, 12:30, we'll talk to Tim Legler to give us a quick kind of assessment of where we're at. Three home games for the Sixers, right? Important home games, Dallas. In Toronto, I expect a rest, and then Monday night Miami.
Yeah, a lot of decent tests coming up, which is awesome. I mean, Sixers Mavs, that's gonna be fun,
dude. Luka
Harden v Luka, like that's awesome.
I'm a big Luka fan.
Yeah, me too. I mean, what's not to love about the way
fun.
He plays?
He just plays fun. He's a fun.
And he's so patient, right? Yep. Like he's so much fun to watch, man. And he could just be a killer.
Yeah,
remember they did a good job locking him. Remember last year. And then he heated up in the fourth quarter, and the Sixers ended up winning. But I remember a lot of people were upset because they didn't cover that game. I remember they kept Luka quiet for the first three quarters. They did an impressive job last year.
Yeah, well, they had a guy who plays defense.
Well, yeah, that's true. By the way, the Scanlon did have St. Peter's yesterday.
No, he didn't.
In a parlay.
Oh, my God, the Scanlon's out of his mind.
Love you, Scanlon.
You're the greatest. All right. Let's go to the phones. Tony is in Overbrook. Tone.
Yo, cuz.
Yo, Tone.
Yo, you know, me and you got a history. I only like met you once, but I worked with your Uncle Carmen at the Super Fresh in Windsor.
Oh, yeah, Tone. My man. Come on. You know I know you. I know you very well.
But listen, cuz we used to talk about you every night, and we were supposed to play basketball. That day, I was playing basketball, but my knees wouldn't allow it, so.
Yeah, we used to run ball. My Uncle Carmen was in his 50s and 60s, and he was a terrific player. He could shoot the lights out.
Yeah, because he used to tell you, I'm going to give you 20 if you play. Like, what, Carmen, you going to give me what?
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and he was one of those, like when he would play, right, if he guarded you, he would pull your shirt. Like he would do little like old man stuff that would like yank your shirt, tug on you, yank your shorts. Like, he had all the tricks.
Hey, Ed, I want to talk about some Sixers, but before I go, I got to tell you some Spectrum stories. Because you used to work at the Spectrum?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Okay, I got a good story after my Sixer point. Listen, the bench concerns me. I'm all in like you. I'm not, you know, I'm in, man. So whatever happens. But, yo, Ed, did you hear anything about Jaden Springer? Because I heard he had a great game. You know, I ain't trying to say he's a savior. But what was his cop when he got drafted? Who were they comparing him to? Do you remember?
Oh, man, who was it? But, yeah, but he's not the answer now.
A guard that can't shoot yet.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. But listen, I'm just saying, I just want to know because, you know, he put up 30. I know it's the G League. But
yeah.
Compared to our bench, I'm just saying, man.
Marcus Smart was the comparison.
Oh, Marcus Smart? Okay. Defensively, then. All right.
He was not a guy who was coming out who was you thought would shoot the lights out. But you're going into the playoffs, man, you can't even think that way.
Yeah, I got you, but here goes my Spectrum story real fast, and I got many, but I don't know if you remember, remember the basement bathroom? He said that one door that would lead right into the tunnel or to the Sixers offices, and what I would do was, after the game was over, right, we would sneak down there, and you know, the guard they had in front of the door would be gone. My first time I did that, and I ran into Doc in the office. I turned around, and it was Doc, and you know I'm a Doc fan, so I was like, oh my God, and he was like, hey, young fellow. Yes, I was stuttering. So the next time I call you, I got a Bird Jordan story, too.
All right. Please. I love that stuff, man. I do. I love it. At some point, I'm going to chronicle all this stuff and do a whole Cuz collection of Philadelphia sports books. What do you think, Junis?
That sounds awesome. I would love it.
All right. Would you like that?
The stories?
I'm going to do a collection of a dozen books.
Some legendary stories.
Of all... You know, Philadelphia sports.
You could do one on the Spectrum stories.
I'm going to just hibernate, do the show, and then hibernate for like 3 years and come out with a collection.
Yeah, I'd be in on that. That's fantastic.
You'd be in on that?
Yeah,
all right.
Of course.
All right,
man.
Good. I might make that a thing. Let's go over real quick. I want to go over the games for today.
Oh, we got the music. There it is, Tommy.
Way to go, Tom.
Good work.
My man Bobby is back.
Yes, he is.
Bobby was here yesterday with us in the Liberty Bell Beer Garden. He's back. He's studying the sheets. He's looking ready to put his games in. We get it started at 12:15 today. Loyola Chicago, the 10th seed. Against Ohio State, it's a pick.
I think the Loyola.
Sister Jean.
I think the Sister Jean story comes to an end.
There's a lot of people like Loyola, including the Brad.
Wow, really?
Yeah, Brad is all over Loyola.
I think the story comes to an end today.
Yeah, I hear you. It's too. Listen, that line. It's just. It's a pick.
How much of that is...
No, I know. It's a lot.
It's fanfare, you know?
Well, there's an old saying that the public dog never bites. So just beware of...
And right.
Loyola Chicago is kind of a public dog. That game's a pick. Then we get started at 12:40. Auburn, Jacksonville State. Auburn, 14.5 over Jacksonville State. Now, people think Auburn's right to get beaten because, you know, they've... Had such a slow, like that second half, they've been very sluggish, mm-hmm. been really tough down the stretch.
They take care of business today, though.
Yeah.
I don't think they get upset against Jackson State today.
All right. Texas Tech, big favorite over Montana State. Mm-hmm. That's 145. Yale, Purdue, 16.5. Big Brain likes the Boilermakers in that game.
Okay. Yep.
Because Yale can't shoot the three.
I have Purdue. Actually going pretty far in the bracket. I know they were another team that kind of, you know, was leaking oil. I got lucky with the Kentucky loss yesterday.
Yeah.
Because I had Purdue-Kentucky in the Sweet 16. Purdue winning, advancing to the Elite
deal.
Eight. And with Kentucky going down, that helps the bracket a little
That's
bit.
That's a big deal, Cubs. Big deal. Villanova. This is the game that we're going to be watching here. Villanova-Delaware. Cats 15.5 over the Hens.
And Kevin Harlan will be on the call for that game.
Dude, I want to hear from some Delaware people today.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this is a great matchup. You know, it's funny because the outsiders don't know how close it is, right? So Delaware, Villanova. Yeah, Josie's a Delaware man. That's right.
Yep.
I knew it. Are you excited for the game? You going to watch the game here?
I think he's got the. Yeah. I think he's got Delaware in the points, man.
You got Delaware in the points? Did you bet it here at the Bet Parks app? I know you did. That's awesome, man. That's a fun game, Delaware and.
I'm in on that.
I like the Delaware peeps.
Yeah, I think Nova rolls, but hey.
Well, I do too, but I enjoy their fandom. You know
yes,
what I'm
of course, I'm with you.
You get my point.
Joe Flacco, the God.
But you know where I'm at with Villanova, and yes. I'm a big J guy, so. That's kind of where that. So I can't wait for that. That's 2:45. One of the best early games. USC Miami.
Looking forward to that.
That's
Nance,
a really good
Nance
game.
On the call for that.
That's
one.
That's a
so
big,
that,
big
great.
Time.
Nance and Raftery.
Another good one is the Irish and Alabama. Irish off that amazing win against Rutgers.
Yep.
In the play-in.
And if you remember before the play-in, I said to you and you agreed, if it was Rutgers, Bama, I go Rutgers.
Yeah.
Notre Dame, Bama, roll tie, baby.
Yeah, Texas Va Tech is at 4:30. That's the last of your afternoon games.
That's a good game.
That's a real good game. Va Tech, you know, is sneaky. Texas only 1.5-point favorite in that
game. Yeah, and they won the conference. They beat Duke in the tournament. So that'll be an interesting game to watch.
Illinois at night, Chattanooga.
Tennessee winning.
I like Chattanooga to keep that game close.
Okay, I have Illinois winning, but I have them an early exit. I think I have them out next round.
You do?
Yes.
Yeah, I do too. I've been anti-Big Ten. I don't think the Big Ten's very good.
Plus, I watched them in the tournament. They just their conference tournament just they didn't look good.
The Big Ten's not that good. Duke, Cal State, Fullerton. Duke, of course, everybody will be talking about Coach K and all that. They're going to be inflated all year.
Yep.
All tournament, I mean. They're 18.5.
It's going to be gross.
LSU, Iowa State.
It's a good game. It is a good game.
That's a tight one. Iowa State catching 4.
Okay.
Arizona, the 1 seed. Big favorite over Wright State. Houston, that's a team to watch out for.
Yep. I had them going to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, I do too. Yep. Well, then we agree on that one. Houston over UAB. Michigan State, Izzo, Davidson. That's in some places a pick right here. It's a one.
Yeah, this is one of these. I think I took Michigan State, but I would not be shocked if Davidson won.
Yep.
Michigan State's always overrated.
Wisconsin, Colgate.
The Scanlon has Colgate.
Does he really? Yeah, Colgate, I like that.
Money line.
Does he really?
Yes.
I like the Colgate. I think that's a smart move by the Scanlon. And finally, Seton Hall, TCU. You like Seton Hall. I like TCU,
yeah,
right?
I'm all about the Pirates.
Yeah. And that's your slate for today. Some picks for you. Here's my man Brad. Let me look. So here's who he likes. He likes Loyola. He likes Purdue. He likes Alabama. He likes Davidson. And he likes USC. I like USC. He likes USC too.
Yep.
So there you go. There's the... the second day.
Yeah, we're getting close, man.
Uncle Frank. Now, it's funny. When it's St. Patrick's Day, Thursday, is today a take it easy? Right?
Today might be hair of the dog.
Well, exactly. I think you got to get right back on the horse.
Yeah, today might be hair of the dog, man.
You got to get right back on it.
I think you go quick shot of JMO at 12:15, and then he's back in the beer.
Get started, dude. Yes. So my man, Uncle Frank, says that he's ready to go. Listen, he goes, a longtime friend of mine is hosting the first round of the tournament. He's done it for 33 years.
That's cool.
He said there's 12 to 15 of us. We'll eat, drink, hoop all day. It's like a damn toga party. Some guys sleep over and leave Saturday morning.
That's awesome. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm down on that.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Like that's, man, I'm all about that.
That's what's fun.
You fall asleep after the final game. You wake up a little bit later, have your coffee before you know it's tip-off time.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. All right, I need a ruling on this.
Okay.
On the Fletcher Cox situation.
Yeah, I don't...
Here's the ruling. Because I'll use the Tasty Cake, because Tasty Cake, huge Fletch man, says, Fletch, all-time Eagle... Best defensive player last 10 years, and they cut his ass? Violation.
What do you want them to do?
I guess not cut him.
So you either hold on to him or you cut him because there was no trade market.
Right. Well, I guess you want them to hold on to him.
All right. Well, I don't know. I mean, sometimes I get it. Dom's all up.
And he's not the only. But he's not.
No,
the only
he's
one.
Not. But like sometimes you got to subtract. As I know it's hard, subtract the fandom and go, all right, this is probably what's best for the team. Because what is Fletcher Cox doing for you in 2 years?
Well, again, I think it's not a situation where Dawkins. It's more akin to Giroux, right? Like it's closer to Giroux than it is Dawkins. Like, listen. Yeah, G has his night, and he's going to be gone.
Right, but they won. Eagles. I mean, I would even go maybe Cox bigger than Giroux.
No. I'm not talking about in scope. I'm talking about in situation.
Okay.
Like when I mean Dawkins, I mean Dawkins still had. First of all, they were still a contender.
Right.
And Dawkins still had game left.
Okay.
And Dawkins' departure left a hole. Right. In a giant hole in the secondary.
Right.
No playmaker. Well, this Eagle team is not in contention. And listen, I'll tell you, he was a terrific player. And yes, I would agree, best defensive player last 10 years. But what do you owe? Like, what do you owe him? Like, why would you stay? Why would you keep him and stand pat?
I don't know. I mean, you know what else it reminds me of? You know, speaking of the Giroux situation, what about Cole Hamels? You know, it was done here, and he had the swan song. The of course, he throws a no-hitter, which was wild his last game with the Phillies. But, you know, you had won. Your team was going nowhere. You wanted to put him in a better situation. So you move on from Cole Hamels, and he went to a contender that year. Fletcher Cox, obviously, you're not trading him to a contender, but... If you release him, which they did, he could sign with any team that he wants.
All right, so if I said to you, last 20 years, let's just take 2000s.
Okay.
Where does Fletch, is Fletch a top 20 Philadelphia sports athlete?
talent and emotion, or are we sticking just talent?
No. Like, as if, you know,
like emotional attachment.
As a favorite son.
Yeah.
Great.
He's got to be top 20.
So it's interesting because once you start to roll with just names, right? Names that are bigger. If I say Iverson.
Right.
Right? Lindros. Embiid.
Hell, you can go Maxi already.
Howard.
Utley Reynolds.
Utley. Jimmy. Hamels. Right? Bryce.
Foles.
Well, I'm not even getting there yet. You know.
I'm just trying to think that team. I mean, was he even the most loved team on the Super Bowl? Loved player on the Super Bowl team?
No, but again, he was a great player, though.
Yeah, hell of a player.
So when I say top 20, I'm talking, you know, the player talent and the love.
Okay.
So McNabb, Dawkins, right, clearly. So that's I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody, but that's got to be top 10 right there, right? Iverson, Lindros, Embiid, Howard, Utley, Jimmy, Hamels, Bryce, McNabb, Dawkins. That's 10.
And then you got, you know, Doc Holliday. You got Cole.
I have Hamels.
Okay. I mean, like, the amount of Chooch. Chooch is going to be on there.
Yeah, but Fletch would be greater than Chooch because
right.
Fletch is a better player.
Talent, yeah.
He's a better. Yeah,
but you have McNabb on there who didn't have the love affair.
Yeah, but he, you know, come on. I mean,
I'm with you.
He's a
better.
He's a better player.
Yeah, you know how I feel. Yeah, of course.
He's a better player.
I think he ends up making the top 20. I mean, he is one of the best defensive players. Definitely the best defensive player.
Let's think about it. I'm just doing it quickly off the top of my head. But think about it. You know, because you got guys. You would put him ahead of Asante Samuel.
Yeah, but do you put him ahead of Trent Cole?
Yes.
Trent Cole, second most sacks in Eagles history behind Reggie.
Yeah, but he was a great, I mean, Fletch was a great, great, great player. I go advantage Fletch.
Okay.
But Trot. I go Trot.
Over Fletcher Cox?
You don't go Trot? I go Trot.
You love Trot.
I do love Trot. Dude, he was a great.
Yeah, he was.
A team that was devoid of linebackers.
Yeah.
Plus, he was as good, like, he was a great player, and he was beloved.
I mean, what about the corners on those teams, too?
I know.
You know, your Troy and Sheldon.
Not Sheldon, but Troy, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure, you can make a case for. Let's go to Chris in the Northeast. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, cuz, how we doing, baby?
There he is. What's going on, Chris?
Good to talk to you, man. Hey, I couldn't get in last Friday. Humming on the line. So, I got a guy, before I get going here, got a guy at Penguin Publishers. We got to get you on the Amalfi Coast for like 3 years. Write that book, right?
Oh, my. Yeah, I'm going to write a series. I'm going to write 10 of them, 12 of them.
There you go.
Right, collection.
Get you out there, get you overseas, get you there.
Yes,
you know.
I'm going to disappear. I'll do the show remotely, right?
There you go.
That's how
there you go. Let the coach know, right?
Yes.
Hey, Castellanos, man. I mean, this is the only way through for them, right? Like they've got a 3 to 4 year window here where it's going to be all free agents because they got nothing in the farm system. So it's good to see that they're at least taking the shot.
Right. I mean, listen, I'm thrilled because I started to get down that I'm thinking, you know what? They're not going to do anything else.
Right. Right, and that's what they've done. I mean, so, you know, who cares if they can't play defense? It's just going to be a lot of 13 to 12 ball games, and, you know, they're just going to have to fight their way through. But it'll be a fun summer in the ballpark.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, really, but, now all of a sudden you have, with those bats, oh, my God. You're going to score runs. It's going to keep you in the game.
Right, you got Didi and Segura, your boy with the fleas. Coming off the book next year, so that'll help free up room for pitching.
Yep.
So, real quick, what do you got on the draft? Who you're hearing there? The Eagles are on.
Well, the one it's too early yet, but they're definitely looking to push some of the assets. I didn't know that.
Okay.
It's too early though. They have their board. They're massaging their board, but it's too early to tell you.
Yep. All right. Well, I'm pumped. Can't wait. I got a food spot for you real quick. Alex Pizza down on 15th and Locust.
Alex Pizza?
Alice. A-L-I-C-E.
Oh, Alice. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I know it. Yeah, Alige. Yes, it's a fact.
The Northeastern became it.
It's the Roman pizza.
Yes.
And it's, in fact, our good friends over at the Grand Cafe L'Aquila have that place.
Okay. Well, that explains it then, because it was fantastic. And had a little date on Monday morning. Went down
nice.
There. Yeah, had a nice little lunch action. They had, 25, 30 different gelatos in there. The espresso was incredible, and the pie was.
Yeah, it's all the Grand Cafe. That's fantastic, brother. That's good stuff, baby. As always, Chris, you do a great job. He is. He every Friday gives us a good spot. He's good. He's a good foodie.
He's a good foodsman.
Yes, he's a good foodie. Foodsman. All right. Legs coming up at 12:30.
Tip off soon.
Tip off. I know. I'm starting to get the itch. It's coming. That's right. We do get a little nuts. Yes, I heard the morning show doing my sounds.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
That we get a little excited.
Is there something wrong getting excited?
As the tip off happens,
Oh, sorry.
I'm a believer of actually liking sports and getting excited by it, and having fun with it.
Oh, you like sports?
Yeah, I know.
You caveman.
610-632-0975. Damn, I actually thought this was about sports.
Yeah.
It's because
John probably went to class
with
that
the Chunas. 97.5 The Fanatic.
And this is Andrew Sal Chunas. Protect yourself against upsets this March with Bracket Parlay Insurance on FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge. Right now, all customers can get up to $25 back each day if your parlay of three legs or more falls one leg short. So the four-leg parlay I got going for you today, I like Villanova to cover the 15.5 against Delaware. Sorry, Josie. I like Alabama covering against Notre Dame, Houston against UAB, and Ohio State. It's a pick'em, but I think the story for Loyola Chicago comes to an end today. $10 right there gets you $125. Build your parlay any way you want based on the teams playing today. Parlays are great because you can turn a small bet into a big payday. And with cash out, the ball is in your court, so you can close out the bet whenever you want before the game is even over. New to FanDuel, just sign up with promo code Fanatic, and then you can bet the bracket all tournament long. That's promo code Fanatic on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Must be 21 plus and present in PA. If exactly one leg loses, refund issue is non-drawable site credit that expires in 7 days. NCAA tournament SBK wager required. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 12 o'clock across the Delaware Valley. Feeling good, Jonas?
Feeling great, man. We're 12 minutes till tip-off, dude.
I know. It's going to be a fun day.
It's going to be a great day.
Beautiful day today. Yesterday was rainy and gloomy.
Perfect.
Today's gorgeous. It's going to be 72.
It actually feels fantastic here. Got the sun beaming down on me.
Yeah, I got a sweatshirt. I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah, you're probably, burning up right now?
Yes. It was cold this morning. It was cold, foggy. When I got up to take the kids to school, So I drive the kids to school every morning.
Yep.
When I left, it was a little rainy, but it was fog, dense fog.
Yeah, fog was pretty strong. I was doing some things, loading up the car. I told you earlier today, I look like the Beverly Hillbillies right
now. Yeah.
My car is loaded up right now with stuff ready to go as a part of the moving process. So. That was fun, driving in the fog while holding something while driving at the same time.
Yeah, that's not good.
It was
Yeah, that's not good.
That's a little interesting journey here.
No.
But we're good.
Yeah.
I got here.
That's not good.
I just got to get to Jersey.
You got to get back to Jersey.
Yeah, that's all.
All right. Well, you and I will do it together. I'll follow you. All right. I'll follow you back.
That sounds good.
Make sure you're okay.
Yes.
Because now that we're going to be neighbors.
Yes, exactly.
Like we can't have enough of each other.
No, right, exactly. Yeah, you'll be hanging out with Tooch. You'll be hanging out with me.
So here's a funny little story. In show inside.
Yes.
So, you know, if you listen to the show for all these years, I have a buddy of mine, Tooch, right? And the Chunis is moving directly next door to Tooch.
Yes.
And they both live near each other in Brigantine, too, in the summer.
So it's kind of wild, man.
Yes.
Tooch and I have this connection that we didn't even know about.
Right. They live directly. They're going to live next door neighbors.
Yeah. So.
And I go over every once in a while. You know, I'm going over when I have time.
Right.
We go late night. You know, I'll spin over because I'm close.
Yeah. And if he gets bored, he kicks you out, you walk on over to my house.
That's
it's like
be,
10 steps.
It's going to be nuts. I'm going to feel like I'm back in the city.
Okay, we'll build you a cot somewhere in between the houses.
That's nuts.
Well, you don't like the outdoors.
No.
We'll build you a little shed.
No,
cousin's shed.
No, I don't know shed.
Man. Cousin's corner.
No, man. I'm inside the house.
Yeah.
All right. There's no way. No, I get house privileges.
Okay.
All right, come on, man. All right, let's go. Let's get back to the phone lines. We got legs coming up. I'm really, you know what's funny? I'm really curious to talk to Legs today because there's a lot more data. You know, he was not happy after the Brooklyn game as well. You well imagine.
He was not. And then you got the Magic win.
Right.
You got the Nuggets loss. And then you got the, the Cavs win, which
was
a good win in Cleveland, the playoff team.
Right.
Obviously concerning that they got outscored 31-13 in the third quarter.
Yeah.
That's a concern. It should be for any night, no matter who you're playing. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see hear what Legs has to say.
All right, let's go to Big E. Big E, what's happening, Big E?
Hey guys, how are you?
Good, buddy. What's going on, man?
Well, I haven't talked to you in years, but I don't know if you remember this, but you turned me on to an Italian restaurant called Raps for the. What do you call it? The food, the veal. Do you remember that?
I remember talking back in the day. You know, listen, who knows? But I remember there's a lot of Italian places in the city. But there was a place, Mezzaluna, back in the day. And, of course, Labor 2 and then Ralph's is there. Yeah. I don't remember. Okay. But the Big E, you know, listen, talking about restaurants in the city, you know, there's a lot of them that I've probably talked about over the years.
Okay. All right. Ready?
Yeah.
I woke up this morning and St. Peter's beat Kentucky, right? I was totally, whatever.
St. Peter, yes.
And Michael Brooks, I was in Albert's dorm. He was my neighbor.
Michael Brooks.
Absolutely.
Wow. His mom. From LaSalle.
At LaSalle, yes. This is before Overton. I'm an old guy. So anyhow, his mom used to come over and, like, cater to Albert's second floor. I was Albert's 206. Yeah, his mom was, like, really cool. I don't know if you knew about that, about Michael Brooks.
No, I just know Michael Brooks was a great player, man. He was, you're right, Big E. He was a great, great player, buddy. Talk about a name of March history in this town. He was one of those guys. Let's go to AC. Here he is. It's good to see AC yesterday.
Yo, good to see you guys, man.
What's going on, man? It was great to meet you in person. Actually, you pressed the flesh.
Yeah, it was a great day yesterday. I had so much fun. I'd say that was the first time. I had been in that casino many times. I actually was in there one time last year. I walked by the booth, said hi to you, and then walked away. But that sports book area, I was watching the games. It was phenomenal.
How great. You know? It was packed, wasn't it? It was amazing.
Oh, it was mobbed in there.
Yeah.
So I had five games yesterday. I had Providence money line. I had Michigan money line. I had Richmond plus the 9.5.
Nice.
You know what two games killed me? I had San Francisco.
Oh, overtime.
Money, right, and I had San Diego State money line.
Oh, that's another one you got ripped off of.
I got ripped off too. They were up 14 in the first half. San Diego
yeah.
State. And I don't know, but hey, look, gambling's a tough business.
That's right,
that's
AC.
Why I don't do it all and do small time, you know.
That's it, man. That's why it's more fun that way. Yep.
Yeah, you know, I'd rather bet 4 or 5, you know, games at $20 a pop than, you know, betting 2 or 3, like, you know, where you can really get injured, you know, or
exactly
in the pocketbook. But you know, I'm going to tell you something. The Sixers are going to win tonight, and I'm positive about tonight's team. I'll tell you why. That, you know, Dallas is on a streak right now. They won, what, 3, 4, 5 in a row?
Mm-hmm.
And the Sixers are due to beat a good team at home. The Sixers' home record hasn't been that good. And they're due to beat a pretty good, you know, team at home at some point.
Yeah, I hear you. Let me ask both of you guys this question. Because how I look at it, when I see the home record, and you're right, they don't have a good home record. But with Harden, they're such a vastly different team that I kind of throw that out because they're a new team now, right? So do you still look at their home record when you have a different type of team?
I look at the record from the first game of James Harden on the court.
It's almost like AD and BC. Does that make sense, AC?
Yeah, you're right. And I want to ask you something real quick. Yeah, that's a good point you brought up. You got to, like, squash it up, start over with the home record with him. But can we blame a little bit on Doc Rivers with the second half adjustments?
Yeah, you know. The leads.
Like,
yeah, I mean, listen.
Leads late in games and stuff.
You know, that's been, you know, again, that's, we've talked, you're right. I mean, we've talked about blowing the leads before, and that's kind of been a thing. Here's
not making the proper adjustments, like, as far as, forget about the bench. We know the bench is bad, but, like, I'm talking about just different adjustments, calling different plays.
Yeah, but it's not really, you're not really calling a lot of set plays, you know. The NBA is different. After a timeout, you will. But you're not, it's not like you're calling plays like, you know, it's football.
Yeah.
You know that. But listen, I hear you. I mean, look, you know, I think it's more of a product. And AC, great to see you. I love that Eagles shirt, too.
Oh, great to see you guys. Andrew,
really?
Great to see you, too, man.
Hope to see you again, buddy. I kind of look at it like this. And, Andrew, you tell me if you agree. When I look at the blown leads, I think part of the issue with blown leads is, and you can't escape it, is their bench is really not good.
Like, yeah. I mean,
like, you can't escape, you know, the fact that that starters are going to be fatigued.
I get what he's saying. Like, every once in a while, we're all screaming, call timeout. But it's only so many times you can do that, right? When your bench is as weak as it is. Now, one of the concerns from the Cavs game is that blown lead against Cleveland, you had starters on the court, right? And Beaton and Harden were both on the court. But then that leads to, okay, well, that's going to happen every once in a while. And maybe it's because they have to play 35, 40, 42 minutes a night just to try to win a ball game. So the blown leads is going to happen. And a lot of it has to do with the depth. And going back to the home record, I look at it this. They're 7-2 with Harden on the court. They're 3-2 at home with Harden on the court. So to me, they're 3-2 at home this season. I wash away everything that happened earlier this year. It's a totally different team.
Yeah, I
wash all that away.
I think you have to.
The only thing I look at is, all right, how is Joel Embiid? What are his splits at home and on the road? But it's also different having James Harden than, you know, having Seth Curry.
Yeah, and that's one of the issues when we talk about, you know, the blown leads. And listen, I get it, right? I do think Doc is doing a lot for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to focus more for the playoffs. He's looking to try to get, you know, somebody that, because he's going to have to play somebody at some point, right? Whether it's of the three, at some point, Milton is going to see the floor.
Yep.
Korkman is going to see the floor. Maybe even Joe. Right? At some point, he's going to have to play one of those guys, not for prolonged minutes. And I think that's kind of what he's playing for.
Yeah.
He's also looking to do different things with Harris, right? He's trying to get Tobias off. I think what we talked about yesterday, and it was funny, I heard Mike talk about this with bringing Maxey off the bench, and everybody was against it, I still think you got to think about it.
It's not he ends up playing 20 minutes. Is he comes off the bench just to give you that punch late in the first quarter. You take Harden off the
just
court.
Just in the rotation, right?
Yeah.
Like in the rotation, same thing in the third quarter where you got to be able to deal with it.
Yeah, and then the final, you know, 8 minutes of the fourth quarter, you have Harden, Maxey, Embiid, Harris, and, you know, Thibault offense defense with Niang. I don't see why that's such a problem. I really don't. Now, and to me, I also look at it, I go, all right, maybe you get Danny Green going early. And plus, he helped. He's a better defender than Maxey. I know he's lost a step. We all know that, but he's a better defender than Maxey.
And if he's ever going to contribute, and you need him to contribute,
you do.
He's going to be. He's a spot up shooter.
Yeah.
All he can do is spot up and shoot the ball.
Yeah. Whether it's in transition whenever they do that or the corner three.
So that's why I would have him in the corner, and I would start.
And he was great from the corner last year.
I think you got to think hard about that.
Yeah, I do.
And
too.
Again, it doesn't mean that Maxey's going to finish the game.
Right.
All right. And Maxey's got to play a lot of. There's no way to escape the amount of minutes that these guys are going to have to play.
Yes.
Like there's just. That's just a flat out. Joel is going to have to play 40 to 42 minutes a night.
Yeah, in a tight game, he's going to be playing.
Harden, 40. Same thing, right? Maxey, same thing. Harris, you just don't have a lot of depth, and you have no depth.
No.
And you're going to have to hide guys.
Yeah, because DeAndre Jordan isn't it. Like the other guys that you mentioned, the Korkmaz and Shake.
That's in situations.
That's, you know. And again, it's 4 or 5 minutes. You see if Korkmaz can hit a few for you. If you can't, you pull him early. I said this to you a couple of weeks ago. I still wouldn't mind seeing maybe Shake, but you have the mindset of when Shake's out there, you push it a little bit because he can finish around the rim. It's just he can't. Like, they tried putting him in the corner. Remember, I mean, Doc's been trying things, right? And they tried putting him spot up in the corner, and that's not a shot. But I can see him sometimes. When they're going fast paced, maybe you do it where Maxey and Shake are on the court at the same time for a couple of minutes. Very little, because now your defense is very suspect with the two of them together.
Yeah, I can't play those two together.
But if you could just do really,
you're trying. But here's the thing: in the playoffs, it slows down.
Yeah, that's true.
And truthfully, that's going to benefit the Sixers, and that's what I hope for the most.
Yep.
I need the game to slow down. I think what you're seeing now. It also will change because the pacing is completely different.
Yes, that's going to change. By the way, happy day two.
Oh, it's underway?
Yep, happy day two
Look
of the
this.
NCAA tournament, man.
It's underway. How much did you watch it when you got home?
All day.
Oh, you did?
I didn't stop. I went TV, laptop, and when a game would go to the more exciting game would go to halftime, I'd flip. You know, laptop. I did all, you know, I did the maneuvering. I was remote. I got the fastest fingers in the West, you know, with the remote. And then the laptop was all fired up. At one point, I had a, because there was a couple of blowouts early in the day. But those middle afternoon games, I even went phone. I went tri-box.
We are in the most glorious time, technologically speaking, to be a sports fan, right?
Yes.
So, like last night, so I'm watching. Obviously, I was here all day. I didn't leave,
right?
Because I did Cuz's Corner, so I hung out and we were. I was hanging around here at the sports book, Chickies and Pete's, and the whole thing. Then I go home, and so I'm a sucker. All right. So Massimo says to me, "Daddy, can we watch a movie?" I go, "Dad, the tournament's on. Don't you want to watch the tournament?" And I got home, it was probably around 8, a little after 8.
But you hadn't seen him all day.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, I was out all day with him, right? Like, so I missed him. And he's like, and he has an hour. He had 9:30 bedtime, right?
Okay.
So we got just enough time. He says, "Daddy, can we watch 12? So 12 is this movie that I've seen 1,000 times, and I love it. It's about a youth baseball player.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the kid gets cut from his team. The coach takes, you know, he gets screwed by the nasty town coach who has the all-star team, right? And he turns out to be this, he works hard. It's like Rocky meets the Little League,
yeah.
Right?
Okay.
It's a beautiful story. So Mossy, Daddy, 12, we haven't watched it. I'm like, we haven't watched it. We watched it like a month ago. He's like, no, we haven't watched it since the season started. Because now he's got baseball practice.
Okay.
Right? So I go, all right, Dad, I can't. Like, there's no way I'm turning him down. So put him on 12th, right? We're watching it. There's a scene where he's like, gets it. Yeah. Like, all this hard work, and he's hitting bombs.
Right.
I'm like, dude, that's going to be you, man. That's going to be you. So meanwhile, I got the phone.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm watching the game on my phone.
Yes.
And every once in a while, you go, Daddy, look. You want put your phone down.
Put your phone down.
I'm like, all right. So finally,
that's love right there, man.
You know, and then finally, I'm like, dude, bedtime. Right back to the game.
Bedtime, right?
Right back. All right, we got Tim Legler coming up, so you don't want to miss that, as he'll give us his assessment of the Sixers. And this has got a lot of data now. We haven't talked to him since after the Brooklyn game. So we'll talk the legs, see what kind of where he's at with the whole thing. And then, of course, we'll have a big hour to have some fun. We'll get back to Castellanos. I'm curious, the two big things that we have for you, Castellanos, and whether or not that's a big bopper in that lineup that's going to be a lot of fun hitting the daylights out of the ball.
That'd be awesome.
If that draws you in. And then the whole Fletcher Cox thing, where are you at with it? We tell you about Tasty Cake Dom, and he thinks that it's a travesty, that a Mr. Eagle was done wrong.
Yeah, I don't get that. Now, we got a tweet that I want to read to you about Fletcher Cox. It's from Luis, our man Luis Ortiz. He goes, Cox is a first-team, all-decade defensive tackle next AD. He's in the top 20 guys. Underrated, but it's time to cut ties. So he knows it's time to move on, but he does believe that he's in that top 20 that we went through.
Okay. Looking forward to it. All right. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. We'll talk all about it. And legs is next. But let's talk about, the Bagster. Yeah, the Bagster bag. Look, it's beautiful. I'm looking out. I'm going, it's nice. You know, the weekend's coming. It's Friday. You might got to do a little work in between the basketball games.
Yeah.
I know you got to do it, dude. That's why I tell you about the Bagster all the time. You want to organize the garage. You're organizing the basement, the attic. Get rid of some junk, spring cleaning. The perfect cleanup solution for all of these projects and more is the Bagster. The Bagster, by far the most convenient and affordable way to help with these sort of tasks. The Bagster is a 3-cubic yard dumpster in a bag. It's sold at Home Depot and Lowe's, all your local hardware stores, for just $29.99. It holds 3,300 pounds of waste, so it handles the big jobs. And you grab it. $29.99. It's easy to use. You buy it, you just open it, you spread it out. I've used it multiple times. You spread it out and then you fill it. I'm telling you, the Bagster bag takes it all on. Buy it, fill it, schedule your collection. It's gone. No time limits. Completely on demand. Go to thebagster.com. Find a store nearest you for more details. This is Anthony Gargano telling you to clean it up this spring with a Bagster. Dumpster in a bag.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
12:30. Day two of the tournament. And Villanova, Delaware, tipping off fairly soon. Sister Jean is in action, Tunis.
Yes, she is.
Right? Sister Jean's there. Don't forget our 12 o'clock hour is brought to you by Service First. Heating and air conditioning at 0% financing for 72 months, a $500 rebate when you purchase a complete heating and cooling system from our good friends at Service First. That's Brian. Learn more. ServiceFirstHVAC.com. All right, let's get back to the lines. And joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. I can't wait to talk to him. The preeminent NBA voice, lead analyst on ESPN. And, of course, he's got his big Tim Legler basketball camp for all the youth of South Jersey and Philadelphia. The great Legs. Tim Legler, Legs.
What up, cuz? Hey, man, you more interested in the Sixers right now or this tournament? Where are you falling right now? Because
listen,
this
Sixers
is nothing better than what we watched yesterday, man.
Oh, that Kentucky. How about that Kentucky-St. Peter's game?
Oh, I was loving every second of it. And I say that only because I don't really have a rooting interest, but St. Peter's was in the MAC when I played in the MAC. Like, LaSalle was in the Metro Atlantic Conference at that time. We weren't in the A-10. So St. Peter's was one of those teams every year. We had to make that trip up to Jersey City and that into that small gym, and it was one of the toughest places in the world to win a game. The games are usually like 52-50. Like, those were the kind of games
you
played. They were alley fights, man, rock fights. And so when I saw that matchup, I would never have picked St. Peter's to win the game, obviously. Nobody really else did. But I knew for a fact that that was going to be more than Kentucky wanted to bite off in the first round because of how tough those kids are. So that was compelling, man. I was so fascinated to watch that.
And you heard it from Cal, man. Cal was like, wow. You know, he was, because he thought he had a team that could make a run.
A lot of people did, man. And the thing about a team in that situation, all you have to do if you're one of those teams, those Cinderella-type teams, you just have to be within striking distance with 5-6 minutes to go, and all of the pressure in the world shifts to the other team. And you can see it. They start playing tight. Last night, Vermont almost did the same thing to Arkansas, man. They hung around forever. They just couldn't get that one key bucket.
How about UCLA, too?
UCLA, that's a great one. My Richmond Spiders, my hometown, they got a great win against Iowa. It's what it's all about, man. The one and done format. That's why I love the play-in so much that the NBA added. It's the one little tiny taste that we get of the NCAA tournament, one and done, and the drama infused just a touch into the NBA playoffs.
I agree. All right, well, I need you because since we last talked, we got a lot of issues. There's a lot of concern. There's a lot of worry in town. You haven't been through town recently. There's a lot of it. There's a lot of worry right now. You know, the Brooklyn game is one thing because people go, all right, you know, I get it. They were emotional. It was just an ugly game. But what has followed has gotten a lot of fear. What do you have to say? How do you either alleviate, what's your assessment here?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd be a lot more comfortable if, first of all, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, full disclosure. I'm going to have a very difficult time getting the Brooklyn game out of my mind for a while. Right? That was as bad as a team can play under those types of circumstances. I don't know if I've ever seen a team play worse with a regular season game that was wrapped around emotional storylines and plot lines. Because we've seen those kind of games before. I've never seen a team play worse than they did that night. So that kind of set me back a little bit just in terms of, okay, that was very concerning. But I would feel a lot better if they came right back after that and went to Orlando and just waxed them. And you said, okay, this was the right mentality, the right approach. I mean, they go down to Orlando, you know, 18-51, that team is, and you got to go to overtime to beat them down there.
Yeah, but that to me was a hangover. That was a bad hangover. You know, when you lose a game like Brooklyn, you got to get on a plane. You know better than anybody because you did it. You got to go on a plane in Orlando, bad team. It's hard to get up for it.
Definitely, but, you know, I wasn't thrilled with the fact that after that game that Art had against Brooklyn, that he comes back and goes 5-for-19 in that game. That was concerning, you know.
Yeah.
And I get it. You're right. I'm not tuned in right now. I'm trying to travel all over the place for work myself, so I'm not really tuned in. What's the pulse right now? Like, what are people thinking right now about what this looks like with Embiid and Harden?
No, that's why I need you, because everybody's worried. There's a lot of worry right now. Here's the thing.
So what's the problem? They're just concerned about how Harden has looked starting with the Brooklyn game on? Is that really what it's about?
So it's about the depth. Right, because they are a shallow team, a thin team,
They are.
It's about the defense, because I think my two concerns are depth and defense. Like, their defense is sometimes horrid, and it's bad up front because you get your two guards, you know, Maxey and Harden, that just are not, man, and they don't get back on defense either. Transition defense is bad.
Well, Maxey is an interesting guy because, he's got the quickness to be a real bothersome, like pesky type defender, but he seems like he's terrified of getting beat.
Yeah.
So he doesn't really pressure up. He just seems like a guy that's not comfortable with his own defense. He's not comfortable with where he is in dictating to the guys he's guarding, like what they're going to be allowed to do. So he is constantly on his heels and reacting to everything that's happening to him. And maybe that's just being young, and maybe he can get better at that. I tend to think that guys that are really, really, really good defenders in this league typically are immediately. Like, you can kind of see it right away. So I don't know if he's going to get there or not. Harden, obviously, we know there's certain things. If you want to post him up, that's probably his best place he can be defensively because he uses his strength, and he's great at raking down on guys when they turn into the middle to score on him. But if you're asking him to go out there and play their pick and rolls or switch onto elite-level scores or run back in transition, and that's just not what he's going to do. And then Tobias Harris is a mediocre defender at best.
Right.
So what are you left with? You're left with Embiid, who's elite at rim protection, and then you're obviously a Seibel, who's, you can make the case he's the best perimeter defender in the league.
Right.
That's not enough, though, with the other three guys. It's not enough. I'm sorry. Seibel can only guard one guy per possession.
So right.
It's like that's all you get. And then Embiid, that's a last line defense. So what about those other three that are key positions? Your one, your two, and your four. Like, those are key spots, and they're not really dictating anything that's happening. So I think those are legitimate concerns. The defense is soft for the most part on the perimeter. And I also think that their depth is definitely something I was concerned about the whole time. What you're counting on is a combination of Harden and Embiid being so good offensively, it doesn't matter, that it overcomes those issues. And we're still very much trying to figure out if that's true.
Well, if I said to you true or false, the Sixers are still a, conference finals team, what's your answer?
Yeah, it's definitely 100%. I'm not bailing on them like that. No way.
Okay, good. Because you had them number one. When you did your Eastern Conference rankings, you did rank the Sixers one post the trade.
Yeah, and the early returns on that were what that was based on, too. Like, I'm watching them, and I'm saying, okay, yeah, man. But they weren't playing teams that could disrupt them. They weren't playing teams that, like, were hitting back. And now they are. And so now it's look, I'm not ready to bail on them and say, oh, yeah, no chance. I've seen enough. I'm nowhere close to that. But it's a concern. What I need to see a consistent run of not just four or five games, of, like, give me 10 games of Harden and Embiid being, like, almost unguardable on the same night. And I'll feel a lot better about them. So I think the jury is out on it. When you look at the other teams, then there's four other teams that you'd have to legitimately discuss. Obviously, Miami, Milwaukee, they're legit. They could be in the finals. It would not shock me. I think Boston is a team. I don't know if they can get all the way to the finals, but you cannot discount what they're doing defensively right now and how good Tatum is. So you can't discount. They got a superstar scorer. They've become one of the best defenses in the league. And they also have a secondary guy that's capable of getting 20 to 30 every night. So that you can't discount that they're in the mix. I'd be shocked if they made it all the way to the finals, but they're at least they're worthy of the debate. And then, of course, you got Brooklyn, who, we don't know because they're never all together. You're trying to, like, figure out what that's going to look like. And we still don't know, because I don't even know when Ben Simmons is going to play. It doesn't sound like anytime soon. So they're definitely a team you got to consider because of that talent, but long way from being convincing. So there's five teams in the discussion, and Philadelphia's still in that mix. They have to have a string of consistency here coming up that needs to get everybody reassured again the way they felt after those first four or five games.
We're talking to the great Tim Legler, Legs on the Comcast Business Hotline. How worried are you depth wise? You look at, we talk about DeAndre Jordan looks washed, right? And he's got to be in your eight. You're really old. Danny Green looks older, right? Like, so you got Niang who you can count on for some buckets, but man, the bench feels really shallow.
Yeah, I'm far more concerned about their lack of depth than I am about, you know, Harden and Embiid playing together or even their defense with their starting unit. I'm way more concerned about the depth because, man, you get into these situations where now you get into a series. I got news for you. You're going to need some source of offense that comes in and has like a 12-point quarter at a key time. Right. If you go look at historically teams that make these runs through the postseason, it always happens. They're going to get it on some night when they really have to have it. And who's that going to be on this group? Like, just going back to the last game against Cleveland, they played 60 minutes total off the bench and had 13 points. And none of those guys are – I mean, Shake Milton is a guy that at times has had the ability to, like, get hot. But he's not there right now. I mean, he's nowhere near in a groove or a rhythm or has enough confidence right now to be that guy. So the rest of those guys are like Danny Green and Niang. And Niang can spot up and knock down some threes. But he's not going to get hot and bail you out of a tough spot when you need somebody because Embiid's in foul trouble or Harden's struggling. And where's it going to come from? And Maxey maybe is playing a little bit with a lack of aggressiveness, which he can do sometimes. Where's that going to come from, that unexpected source of 15 points tonight that we really need someone to get? And that, to me, is by far their biggest concern.
You just made me, like, a shiver went down my spine. Fear. Let me ask you this. Would you think about starting Danny Green and bringing Maxey off the bench?
No, I don't think I would, man. I don't think I would. I think you need Maxey to be as close to the best version of himself that he's been this year, and the way you do that is keeping the starting lineup. I mean, you know, he played great the other night. You know, the Brooklyn game was he was caught up in that stuff too, and it was kind of like, wow, okay, that was weird. Like, who's that guy? You know, I joked after the game, I texted a buddy, I said, you know, I didn't know Maxey was out tonight. You know, because I didn't even notice him. I didn't notice he played that night, but he came back at a great game against Cleveland. No, I think you keep him in rhythm, and you do the best you can to make your starting lineup and your starting five to max out who they are. And,
right.
and I don't think because that's running a risk if you take him to the bench. I know he was really good as a spark plug before he got this ball handed to him when this whole Simmons situation arose. I know he was a good spark, but you take him to the bench. I don't know, man. It just. Your approach driving to the arena is now all of a sudden different than it's been all year. And who knows
really,
what's going to
be. I mean, like, he's going to play the same minutes, and he's going to finish the game, right? So, but here's my only thing with you. So they're trying to figure out Tobias, right? You're not going to put Tobias on the bench, but you're trying to make sure that you get Tobias the ball early, too. Touches.
Yeah. I think Harden's strategy has always been, he likes those guys to get touches early in the game. Because he's going to need them when he starts to draw two and three guys. And he needs those guys to make shots. The best way to do that is get him the ball early in the game. So that's what I'm saying. Like, with like Maxey, you know, you bring Maxey off the bench. So he goes the first 6 minutes. He hasn't done anything yet. And now he goes in. And depending if you put him in with Harden for a little bit before you take Harden out, and then Maxey becomes the point. You know, and if that's the case, he's not going to come out just automatically looking for his shots. So now maybe you have nights where you go the whole first quarter, Maxey hasn't scored. And now you're going to ask him to over the next three quarters to do his normal level of production. I just think it's a hard thing to make an adjustment after starting all year. I think that'd be a hard thing for a young player to adjust to and be able to get in the same level of production off the bench that you were as a starter because you just know how to get into a rhythm when the game starts. You've been doing it all year. It's just different mentality coming off the bench. So I don't know that I don't know that I would do it.
Mm. It's funny because his game translates, right? Like, his game could translate. I just think I'm really concerned, and I'm looking at it going, am I wasting minutes when Maxey could be getting up way more shots, right, coming in second unit?
So you want to bring him in second unit for Harden. So Harden comes out at the 4 or 5 minute mark of the first quarter for Maxey.
Yes.
And Maxey comes in and he's got the rest of the quarter.
And he's with Embiid. Right.
Go do your thing. Be aggressive. Do whatever you want. And then probably some point early second quarter, you put Harden back in for one of those other guys, like, you know, whether it's Green or Seibel or,
right.
or whoever. And then he plays with Harden for another 5-6 minutes.
Or shorter than that, and you close the quarter out with him on the floor.
Yeah, and look, I'm not saying it can't work, and they might not have a choice.
I mean, I agree with you.
If they go more games with getting nothing off their bench,
right.
he might not have a choice. But because, look, as a coach, and I've coached a lot of teams, and I didn't have certain teams, I didn't have that guy coming off my bench. And you definitely sit there and think, man, you don't want to take any of these guys out because you're like, what's coming in? Is this going to be dead minutes? So he might get to the point. I don't know that he's there yet, but if there's a pattern here over the next few games where they're just getting nothing off their bench, he might not have a choice because he's got to get a little bit better balance in the two units.
Exactly. And that's my only – listen, because what you say is right, but I'm almost desperate in thinking about this thing. That's where I'm at. I'm in desperate, you know, situation going, oh, my God, you know, like I got to get something because can you possibly – I'll ask you – can you possibly make a championship run with all those guys playing all those minutes? With those guys playing all those minutes, big, big minutes.
The starters, you mean?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I'm not one of these guys. I'm not one of these analytics nerds that sits there and goes, oh, my God, he's playing 34 and a half minutes a game. 33 is the number. 33 is the number.
Right.
You know, it's like, I'm not wrapped up in that, man. These guys are all in the, you know, Harden, look, Harden's got mileage. Harden's had probably the highest usage rate I've ever seen in the history of the game for that run he had in Houston. That wears you out. There's no doubt in the way he plays. But he's still got enough physically in the tank. And Embiid is very much in right there just entering into those prime best years of his career. Maxie's, you know, a spring chicken. I'm not that worried, man. And those are the three guys we're talking about. You're in Tobias. Tobias is in his prime. No, I'm not that worried about that, if that's what you have to do. I'll say this. I think we'll know a lot more even by, you know, Monday night at like 10:30 because they play Dallas, Toronto, and Miami, okay? Dallas is hot. They're a really good defensive team. Luka's not the kind of guy that Thibault can lock up the way he did, like a Curry.
He's shifty,
just too big
man.
And strong.
Yeah.
He's just different.
Yeah.
You're not going to do that. He'll do his thing. So this is a great matchup for them. Dallas is playing as well as anybody in the league right now. Then you got Toronto, who's never easy for the Sixers, and they're well coached and they play hard. And then you got the Heat. Next three games, all at home. And then you go out west, and you know Lakers are a disaster right now. But then Clippers, Phoenix, Milwaukee. This next stretch of games over the next 2 weeks, you're going to have all the answers, I think, about where they really rank in this league.
All right, quickly, because then I want you to tell me about the Tim Legler basketball camp. But I see Chris is coming up, and he's going to say the Sixers were better before the trade. True or false?
Well, right now, the point that if he wants to make the point, they're playing like a more consistent, better brand of basketball, that he's probably right. But it's too early to make determinations on what this team's ceiling is, this group's. So, no, I would not say that. This is what I've said to people all along. Any person that says the Nets won the trade, here's the best argument you can make why that's not true. The Sixers were not a championship caliber team.
Right.
They were not going to be a championship as currently constructed. And guess what? They also weren't going to win it with Simmons. They weren't going to do it. So they took themselves to a place where at least it is a legitimate debate now of whether they can. Nets, they were already a contender, and they still are. Now, they might be better now because the chemistry will be better. The roles are more defined. If they get Kyrie out there every night and they get Simmons back, he can help them for sure. They might be better, but they were already a contender. So to say when a team jumps one shelf to the next that they didn't win the trade and the other team was already a contender and they still are, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah,
Sixers did what they had to do to give themselves a chance.
All right,
so now you got to be patient and give them more time.
No, I'm with you. All right, tell me the early registration for the Tim Legler basketball camp.
I wanted to mention it today because we got the early bird registration going on the website, timleglerbasketballcamp.com. Believe it or not, my 15th year this summer running the camp, August 1st to 5th, South Jersey, Everything you need to know is on the website, timleglerbasketballcamp.com, but I wanted to mention it now because we got an early bird special where you can go on now and register here over a period of time, and you'll get a discount for the camp. So very proud of it, man. We had record numbers last year. It's my favorite week of the year, and it's going to be around the corner. So August
and it's awesome. As a father of two boys who have attended and will attend again this year, it's awesome. So thank you.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
All right, buddy.
And, I look forward to this game tonight. Love watching Luka play, and I'm looking forward to that's good. And of course, I'll have two TDs on. The other one will be on March Madness.
Sounds good, baby. Thanks, brother. Here he is, the great legs on the Comcast Business Hotline. Junis, we'll discuss over the last hour. I know Chris wants to make his stand that they were better before the trade. We'll talk about that. And, as always, legs is very insightful and very interesting. We'll discuss it. All straight, big hour ahead. Cuz Radio with that Chunis, 97.5 The Fanatic. Let me tell you about my boys at Golden Nugget Jewelers for a second. Right at the corner of 8th and Chestnut. And I'm curious, do you guys want to be in a 97.5 The Fanatic video shoot with me at Golden Nugget Jewelers? Now, it's going down in April. I'm looking for three lucky bachelors to be in the video with me. If you're into it, you're thinking about getting engaged, head to the contest line, all right, the contest page on the website. Fill out the form, all right? You can enter to be a chance in the video. Now, here's what you get. My three bachelors are going to get 30% off an engagement ring. It's a big number. 30% off an engagement ring, and we'll get to hang out. Golden Nugget Jewelers, make a cool video. You're thinking about getting an engagement ring, you got to go there. Golden Nugget Jewelers, your own, his crew, the experts. They're there to help you find the perfect match for what you're looking for. You got major financing options as well as unbeatable prices for name brands, Verazio, Tacori. Visit Golden Nugget Jewelers online at goldennuggetjewelry.com. Golden Nugget Jewelers is where Philly gets engaged.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right. Welcome back. 1 o'clock live from the Beer Garden, the Liberty Bell Beer Garden. Gorgeous day in the Delaware Valley. We look out. It's all windows here at the Beer Garden.
Yeah, it's nice,
and
man.
It's gorgeous.
I got the sun right above. You're kind of in the shade.
Yeah.
I've been getting sun for 3 hours now. It's nice.
Nice, dude. Good vitamin D.
Yes.
Very nice. Dude, let me ask you, because I want to get right to it. Legs, interesting stuff. He is not, to paraphrase, so he's not off the bandwagon.
No.
He had him won and when he ranked the Eastern Conference.
Yep.
I asked him point blank, true or false, is this team still a conference finals / finals team? He said yes.
He said definitely. Definitely they still are, which is a good sign. Now, he's an analyst, so he's going to break things down. He's going to look at both the good and the bad. And unfortunately, there's been more bad or more worrisome stuff over the last couple of games since that Nets loss. And he straight up said it right when he brought him on. He said it's going to take him a long time to get that Nets game out of his mind.
Yep.
And he said one thing that could have helped, which is what I wanted, was those guys to play against Orlando and to beat down the Magic. And that didn't happen, right? They go to Orlando and they have to go to overtime to win that game. So it's been pretty ugly over the last three games, well, last four games, three out of the last four, because the Cavs game, it happens, right? That's a tough matchup. But he still thinks they could become a championship team or at least go to the Eastern Conference Finals, and that's good to hear. But they do have work to do. He said he wants to see 10 games with Embiid and Harden where they're unstoppable. I don't know if you're going to get 10. Because you're going to have to sit guys points.
Yeah.
But if you can get three, against good
you
teams.
You want to see more. Like, again, there's a couple circle teams, right?
Yeah.
You got tonight. You got Monday night. You're going to have Milwaukee coming up. You know, that's what you're going to have.
Yeah, exactly. And even if it's the, you know, the lesser opponents and you could just beat down on one of those lesser opponents, I'd take that too. But yeah, those, the 10 games that he wants to see, I don't think you're going to reach that, because at some point you're going to have to start resting these guys. Like, I thought Embiid was going to rest against Cleveland. He didn't. Now, fortunately, he didn't, because they needed every bit of him to win that game. But that time's going to come, man. They're going to have to start sitting these guys soon.
All right, let's get to the phone lines, because the other story that we're watching closely is the Castellanos.
My hands hurt from constantly refreshing Twitter. And I still haven't said it just got quiet, right? Like, everybody, every reporter said something.
Because honestly, I'm expecting that somebody to go, it's done.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Friday. You know he wants to get the deal done today.
Yeah.
You know, but you got to make sure you listen to Mikey Mist, the General, and Jen all afternoon, because it's going to come down. It's got to come down.
It has to.
In fact, this is the quiet before the announcement.
Because if you lose him, forget, like, the fact that, let's say they weren't even in, right? We were already kind of down. But the fact that they are now one of these teams yeah, you have to do it now.
You got to do it now.
Or you're going to lose a lot of people this season.
Yeah.
Man. You're going to lose a ton of people.
Yeah. You're going to, tell me how bad are you going
to
feel?
It's going to come down to,
we'll be crushed.
Wow, you didn't want to go into luxury tax. Screw you. That's what it's going to come down to. Billionaire.
And listen, like, whatever it takes, you got more money than Miami.
Yeah.
Then the Marlins, you got to flex.
You have a major market team.
You got to flex.
Like, come on now.
That's it. Let's go to Steve. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Stevie.
Yo, cuz.
What's up, Steve?
Yo, this is why Bryce Harper is like my top four best Philadelphia players of all time. Him, Kelsey, Brandon Graham, and Embiid. Because they care about us. They care about the game. That's why.
Bryce, you know what? That's a great point. It really is such a great point.
Yeah, Bryce Harper is making $25 million. At the end of his career, he's making $22 million. By that time, I'm sure the payroll's going to go up. Lindor's making more money than him. David Price is making more money than him. Stan's making more money than him. And it creates so much flexibility for us to get a Castellanos and to get other free agents. And it's just like, he's got to pull the trigger on this, because you got to protect Bryce. You got to make Bryce happy.
Yes.
And it's just like, not only that, Segura comes off the book, DD comes off the book, so you're not going to get penalized next year. So it's no excuse why David Dombrowski or Milton can't do this deal. And
I think you're dead on.
I still think they need a closer and probably another arm. But like I said, they, if they do this, they're right up there. Right there. And it's just like, they have to do this deal. Simple put.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. I think you're dead right. And it's a great point, Steve. Everything you say is on. We are all in agreement. You got to do it. That's it. If you don't do this deal, we're going to be, everybody's going to be crushed.
Yeah, people will be out on the season. Like, out. Right? And here's a message to John Middleton, Dave Dombrowski. I know Dombrowski's, you know, been here for 5 minutes, really. We had a caller that one day when Harden, you know, the Sixers are 3-0 with James Harden.
Yeah.
And the guy said, I haven't watched three straight Sixers games since probably 2001. Because basketball is not his first love. Now, he reps Sixers because he reps Philly. But basketball was like his fourth sport in the 4-for-4 landscape. And he said for the first time since 2001, he had watched three straight Sixers games. That's going to happen with the Phillies. When the Phillies had that four-game series with the Mets, that was four straight sellouts in the summer. And we haven't seen straight sellouts in a long time other than the opening series.
They haven't made the playoffs.
Yeah, in 11 years.
In 11 seasons.
Second longest playoff drought in Major League Baseball right now, active. So, and the Mariners, by the way, are having a hell of an offseason. They made a great trade the other day. If they break that streak, now the Phillies are the longest active playoff drought. That can't happen.
No.
That can't.
No.
So you'll gain people. You'll gain, you know, viewers. You'll gain attendance if you make a move like this.
And by the way, you got to win. It's the, you know, again, it is an investment. And when we talk about the luxury tax and you talk about being at the threshold, if you go into it, right, you at least have a chance to make good in the playoffs.
Yep.
You're going to do, you're going to create so much excitement in this town.
You'll get the return investment.
Well, we always talk about ROI. I mean, that's what, if you don't do it now,
yeah,
you're already at the precipice of it.
Right.
And you're in the middle of the ocean.
You have a high payroll already.
That's the point. You're in the middle of the ocean. Yeah. I think he has to do it. For fiscal sanity, he has to do it.
Yeah, exactly. I think you're right, man, because we know right now, just look, I don't even have to look at the rest of the National League with the Dodgers. I look inside this division right now, currently constructed. You go on paper, which I know the Mets always collapse, but on paper, Mets are number one.
Yep.
Braves are number two.
And the problem with the Mets are they have a guy, an owner, who is all about making splash and about all the money in the world.
Oh, this isn't working out, or I'll make this trade for this high price player.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, he'll do it.
Let's go to Oliver. You're on 97.5, the Fanatic. Oliver.
Hello, guys. How are you? I'm back.
What's up, Big O?
Oh, big time, big time. Big analyst here. Big analysis, I should say. Analyst as well. I know legs, but I got one up on legs. No pun intended. All right, here we go. First of all, a quick point about Russell Westbrook and the Lakers. I know it's a side point, but you're just bringing up these big contracts. I just wanted to tell you that quickly this point. I want to get your guys' opinion about this. Then I'm going to talk about the Sixers, Harden, Embiid. I have a great point about that. You guys are going to love it. But listen to this. We all know that when you start in superstars, that you're going to give them a long, massive contract. The last few years are more often than not, you'll be paying for years that you will not enjoy. And for some fans, that may mean, some fans may even regret this contract. It's that simple as that. And we know Westbrook is a vicious competitor. He's a very fast man still. But he lost his shooting touch, and it's a very rare form of...
No, he never had it. He was not the great fit. He was never a good shooter.
That's true, too. He was never a great shooter, but not 9% from three. Let's not kid ourselves. But anyways, I digress. Back to the Sixers. To understand this Philadelphia 76ers, in my opinion, is to understand this. They are by far the number one... The rest of the team is nothing outrageous. They have the pieces to win it with you guys, but they have by far the number one center guard common in the league, and that's not debatable. And that alone is what can carry them to the playoffs. Our bench is not as big a concern as you all think, and I'll tell you why. If Doc Rivers, for example, took his bias out of the way and should have... We all were watching... Anthony, you were watching that game. The Andre Jordan, listen to this. During that Nuggets game, we would have seen a victory, and clearly that's not debatable because he was so flat-footed out there against Jokic, who, by the way, is a superstar, who is second in MVP right now.
Do me a favor, because I know you're studying to... You're studying to be an auctioneer because you're an amazing fast talker. Right, you're an amazing fast talker. But you got to do me a favor, slow down just a little bit. So what's your point on Embiid? That he should have rested Sunday against Orlando?
No, that's not my point. That's another point.
That's what I would have said, but go ahead.
I'm discussing our aspirations to win a freaking NBA championship.
Well, but Embiid was gassed. That's why you had to take him out of the game.
Right, but this is my point. There was someone called Paul Millsap and another Paul Reed on the bench. There was no reason why they would have had a quickness. Yes, they wouldn't have had
I'm out on that, though. Big O, I'm out on that. Paul Reed, I'm out on that.
Yeah, there's too much love for Paul Reed. I like the prospect of it. It's kind of like Jonah Bolden all over again.
Right.
There's a reason why he's not playing. And if he does play... Okay, you give him a shot. It's very late in the season. You're not going to give guys shots at this point. But if you give him a shot...
Not against Jokic.
Yeah, he might get exposed. He might get exposed real quick.
Come on, Paul Millsap. Paul Millsap can't handle Jokic. He's cooked, too. You know, that's... Now, if you would have told me you would have rested and beat on Sunday against Orlando, I would agree with you. Let's get Chris up here. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Chris.
Yo, Anthony. How you doing, man?
What's up, brother?
Everything's good. How you been?
Good, pal. Always good.
Yeah, good. Now, listen, just to paint the picture, now my dad was a freshman when Will Chamberlain was a senior at Everbrook High School.
And look at that.
So he saw him score 90 on Rockford and grab quarters off the top of the backboard and all that stuff. I mean, the dude was amazing, but he's been watching basketball for the whole time, and you know, I listen to what he has to say. We go back and forth. But the one thing we both agree on is the Sixers just don't have it this year. This is not the year. They made a mistake, first off, by trading Andre Drummond. If they would have put that on the table, I don't care about Harden. The deal's off.
Yeah, I'm on the other side of that, brother. I really am.
Well,
because first of all, you weren't going to be able to keep Drummond next year.
I think he likes being on this team. I think we could have signed him.
Nah, he's going to get a payday. He's not. You weren't going to do that.
Brooklyn, Blake Griffin's still playing for Brooklyn, right?
Yeah, he's another cook one. Yeah.
He's not even getting any minutes on Brooklyn. If he was on the Sixers, he'd be getting a lot of burn. That's the difference. We just don't have it.
Well, you don't have depth. You don't have great depth, but that doesn't mean you're cooked for the playoffs when you're playing when you have a day off between games, at least one, and you're be playing a lot of minutes.
Tobias plays one good game out of every seven. We just need a couple more pieces. I agree. I like the trade, but I like Harden being on the team. But I would love to see us win, but it's just not the year. You know what I mean? And
I don't know what you mean. I mean, I think you gotta give them time to play together a little bit, Chris. I mean, you know the game. You know that, especially when it comes to basketball, it's going to take time to play together, to get everybody to get their roles down.
Yes, I hope that it happens. And I'm going to call you back for another time because we're going to debate why Jordan, LeBron, Kobe, they were the best, one of the best of all time. But when it comes to being compared to Wilt, it's not even a comparison.
I didn't see Wilt, so I can't. I'm not on that debate, brother. I honestly, Chris, I didn't see Wilt play. That was before my time, so I give it up to the guys that saw Wilt. I'm a big believer in, if you're really going to judge players and really going to accurately look at players, you have to have lived through their careers.
Yeah, that's why when people always, Andrew, what do you think, LeBron or Jordan? Well, the Jordan I saw in person live was wearing a Wizards jersey.
Right.
So, like, LeBron is the best player of my lifetime. Kobe number two. Like, that's 1-2 for me.
Exactly.
I can't really make a statement on Michael Jordan because, you know, it was a little before my time.
Well, I do. It's like, you know, you want to. I can't debate Jordan, LeBron, Kobe versus Wilt.
Right.
You know, listen, I know what he was about. I know what the deal was, but I can't. I didn't see him. So when you see a guy do something and you see a guy play, like I was blessed to be able to cover the Bulls and watch Jordan every night.
Yeah, you're up close.
Like,
I'm
sitting in court. Right. And back then, it was the media sat courtside.
Yeah, you weren't up in the upper levels.
And I'm just sitting there looking at Jordan, watching these games with the jaw hitting the table. We were right down from the scores table.
Yeah.
Oh, my man. Oh, look at this. He's all over. He's actually in L.A.
Wow, he's in those streets.
Can you believe it? He's probably making, oh, man, you know, he's making a,
he's making his rounds.
He's doing something there. Let's go to the one, the only, from blackgritty.com. Black Gritty.
When I say I'm in these streets, cuz it's coast to coast, Key West, Cheeky Largo. How y'all doing, brother? What up, Young Thundercat? How y'all doing?
My man. What's up, brother? I love it.
Hey, it's LA. It's the best thing in the world to wake up, you know what I mean, 8 a.m., turn on the radio app, you know what I mean, and I hear my boys in the early first section. I really do appreciate it. It's really
What's it
awesome.
Like 9:15 tip-off for the first game of the tournament?
Yeah, it's crazy over here. Like, it's the best way to live. You can go to bed at 9 o'clock like, if you want to, because everything's shut down by then. Everything's done. So it's pretty good. I'm out here working.
What are you doing out there, cuz?
Yesterday I had a shoot. I did a security guard shoot and from a helicopter, doing all kinds of things.
No, you're in a movie or a TV show?
No. For a client, you know, it's a big time app he's doing, so he wanted some advertisements.
Very cool, man.
Big stuff. I'm going to San Francisco this weekend, and I'm shooting down to San Diego to hit the beaches, and then I'll be back, and power will be restored on the East Coast next week sometime. But let me tell you something. Legs was hitting right on what I was talking about. With these next couple of games, like, I need you to either win against every single one of these West Coast teams, or I need close games. Like, I'm not one of these people that, like, gets upset about every loss. If it's a tough loss, I fully understand. And I get, you know, a 3-point game, a 5-point game, swings could happen, refs could get in the way, but I need a competitive. Like, Glenn needs to get this team to either winning against these better teams in this next little run, or they've got to be close competitive games. Because, you know, the game could swing either way. So if you're within, like, a couple points, I'm not mad, oh, you know, we're going to lose because we lost to the Suns. No, all right, show me how you played against the Suns, and then I'll decide how I feel. So, you know, we got to get the team together. The bench ain't, you know what I mean? The bench is the bench. But these stars are going to be playing more minutes. But up until we play the Bucks, I need to see high-level competitive games. And then for the rest of the season, I don't know why we always get blessed. We get to play Trash Pandas at the end of the year, and then we need to run the table at the end of the year and get our groove back so we can roll into the playoffs strong. That's
how much are you looking for, like, these big showings to just alleviate fear going to the playoffs, right? Is that a big part of it?
You know
what I mean? Like, because it feels like there's a lot of, like, over... I'm not saying you don't want to, like, that you shouldn't say it, but it feels like there's a lot of overemphasis on, like, you better play well tonight, you better play well Monday night.
Because you know why? We have Glenn Rivers, the losingest coach in playoff history. He won a championship, great, but everything else, he's had all kinds of talent, and he's lost. And then we have our own Sixers history, and then we have James Harden's history in the playoffs. That's right. Why everybody feels that way. You can't help but feel that way. So I need to see strong showings. And I'm not even trying to, like I said, I'm not trying to jump off the board and say, oh, you better blow out the Suns, or you better, you know what I mean? Like, no.
And it's something I've heard, like, it's been a consistent thought, like, I heard it from John this morning. John Kincaid said it this morning, like, I need them. They better show up against Dallas. They have to win big against Dallas. Now, I believe that John really believes that. That's not just some sports radio thing. You know?
Yeah. It's the trifecta of our own Philly history, Glenn Rivers history.
All right, we got breaking news.
Well, BG. Not breaking news, but we got Deal Zone.
Oh, we're in the Deal Zone for Castellanos.
Maybe another outfielder. Now, I saw this name out there earlier this week, and I was like, really?
Another outfielder?
This is from Scott Lauber. Now, we talked about Kiermaier, and the price was too much for Kiermaier. But according to Scott Lauber, the Phillies have also talked to Tampa Bay about Austin Meadows.
Ooh.
According to a major league source.
Ooh, I like Austin Meadows.
Yeah, so do I.
Left-handed bat.
Another outfield.
He's got power. Meadows got power.
So you go Schwarber, JT.
Dude, you have the lefties that you got.
Harper, Hoskins, Schwarber, Meadows. Schwarber, that's left, right, left, right, left.
Schwarber, Meadows, and Harper as lefties.
Yeah.
Damn. So Meadows are great.
That's the latest in the Deal Zone,
I'm a big fan. I love Meadows. He's a good ball player.
He is.
And the ball just... And you know what? He's batted leadoff before. He said leadoff before.
He has too. Yeah.
Ooh, I like that name.
The latest in the Deal Zone, man.
I mean, I prefer Castellanos.
Me too.
Guess what?
But you go, left, right, left, right, left.
I get Meadows. I'm all right.
Yeah.
You know, but here's what I do like. The fact that the Phillies are still linked to a couple of big bats is great.
Yeah, because they probably saw the collective, so what's next, from the... From the fans about Schwarber.
Well,
because they do the Odubel thing.
Listen, they know they need another bat.
Yes.
They know it. Oh, my God. If you had...
I'm with you. Castellanos 1, Meadows 2. But
still, but that's a good...
But this isn't Castellanos, Bryant,
right.
1A, 1B, and then Schwarber, a low 2.
Right.
Right? Like, I like Schwarber.
Right.
But there's a lot of you know, ground between him and those other two players.
Yes.
Meadows is pretty close behind Castellanos for me.
Yeah. So, it's funny. Jason Stark, I guess go back to the Deal Zone if you want.
Oh, Deal Zone music again?
Yeah, Jason Stark. Well, this is just a little nugget. As recently as a few days ago, agents and other teams said the Phillies seemed focused on pitching depth and multi-position utility-type guys. Nick Castellanos is a whole different item for their shopping cart.
That's when Bryce Harper goes, because he spoke after the Schwarber.
Yeah, we have Bryce to thank.
And he was kind of like, yeah, I really love Kyle Schwarber, but I think we need more.
Yeah.
So thank you, Bryce Harper, even though John doesn't like that for some reason.
Yeah, I don't understand why you wouldn't love that.
Bryce, keep going, man.
I don't understand why you wouldn't
ask for the moon, dude.
Think about this, too. Do they have to? You want them to win. You want them to play well because you want to feel good going into the playoffs. So I understand the nature of what. But is it life or death?
It's not life or death, but I'm all about I'm all about tests. If you look like if you look like you did against Brooklyn tonight against the Mavericks,
I agree. I hear you.
Yeah, I'm cracking the glass.
But, do you really?
If they lose by 30,
if they lose by 30,
that's the Nets.
Come on, they lose by 30. That's different.
All right. I didn't think they lose by 30 to the Nets. Axe in hand, I told you that.
You got the axe, you're poison.
But Ray Liotta could tell me to put the axe down, Junis. You got the axe in hand,
man. Put it down, Junis. Put the axe down.
I could end up chopping something else.
Put the axe down.
Chop, chop, Tommy.
Chop, chop, Junis. Chop, chop. That's possible. Hey, let me tell you about Royal Billionaire Recreation. I tell you about them all the time because they're the ultimate game room store across the Delaware Valley. It's amazing what they have. Like, you want to talk about purveyors of fun? This is my girl Audra and the incredible people at Royal Billiard. Oh, my. Now, here's what I love about them. So, could you imagine you're at home, it's summertime's coming, right? You get a little late night pool with your family and your friends, a little late night shuffleboard, ping pong, foosball, little skee ball action, darts, and poker. Look, that all fosters memories, right? It fosters bonds. That's what it does. And this is what I love about Audra and what she sells. It's not just fun. It's memories and joy and bonding with your family and your friends. Royal Billiard Sales and Service Team is the best in the industry. They'll help you choose what's right, the right products for your home. Install them with a smile. They'll deliver if you have a shore house, mountain house, whatever. Not a problem. Visit the Royal Billiard Showroom in Hatfield, PA, or at royalbilliard.com. Royal Billiard and Recreation, the Delaware Valley's ultimate game room store since 1982.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I thought it was coming to an end today.
Yeah.
For Chicago Loyola.
It looks like Sister Jean, they're down 11 against Ohio State. It kind of felt that way, too. You know, it's so hard for these Cinderella schools.
Right. Over and over and over again. Right.
Right, to replicate. Unless you're going to turn your program into Gonzaga, right?
Right.
You know, Gonzaga's not a... They went from being a Cinderella type to being a great program.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I figured it'd be coming to an end soon. I mean, that's the beauty of the bracket, right? You have to see some of these spots. So I thought that, you know, you always know that one of the teams is going to have a letdown, right? And I don't know why, but I thought Kentucky would lose to Purdue down the road.
Right.
So I benefit in terms of bracket Kentucky losing yesterday, because that then helps the road for Purdue later on. So that's the beauty of the NCAA bracket, man. You got to find the spots. Like, who's the team that's going to have the letdown?
Yeah,
it is fun, man.
It's a great time. It really is. Hey, real quick, because, you know, a friend of ours, Chris, who calls up and gives us a lot of food advice.
Yes.
Was talking about the restaurant Alice, right? The pizza place, Ali's. It's called Alice. It's Roman style pizza, and it's opened by our friends at the Grand Cafe L'Aquila, mm-hmm, right on Chestnut Street. So this is what those guys are doing. They're going to Italy for the World Cup playoff in Palermo.
That's awesome.
Isn't that amazing?
That's so cool.
That's pretty awesome. Like, that's a bucket list thing.
Bucket,
like,
list,
the tournament is a bucket list, right, thing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, it's such a great time. That being in Palermo for a World Cup soccer match
that's bucket list, man.
Right? Like, that's going to be amazing. And it's their first 100% capacity games in the country.
Oh, what, since COVID?
In Italy.
Oh,
yeah.
That's cool, man. That's, yeah, that's going to be awesome. That's, have fun, guys. Like, that's really cool. I'm jealous, man.
I know. That's a great time. That's
yeah.
That's an amazing, amazing experience. Villanova, Delaware, dude. Where are you at?
I think
Villanova. Are you, I know, but are you a hater?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm one of those guys. That, you know, Villanova's not in Philly. You know, come on, man. To you, baby. Let's go. I give you credit, but come on, man. I got no love for Nova. I have them losing Ohio State second round.
They ain't losing Ohio State. Hell out of here.
Come on, man.
Nah, man. Come on. You have no appreciation.
I appreciate everything that they have done. But
no,
I have
no appreciation for what Jay is built.
I have no love or fandom.
You know, it's interesting. It is true. And listen, my cousin's the same way like you. His daughter goes to Villanova Law School.
Yes.
And he still can't. Joey still can't.
Good.
Get behind him.
Good. I respect. I respect what Jay Wright has done. I respect what Villanova's done. If I saw Jay Wright face to face, I'd shake his hand and be like, you know, it's like Ron Burgundy. Like, I hate you, Ron Burgundy, but damn, do I respect you. Like, that's basically how it is.
It was interesting because they were so close. Had they not won the Big East tournament, they would have been a three seed probably, right?
Okay, yeah.
And they could have been here.
Oh, that would have been
cool.
At
the regional.
That would have been pretty cool.
They would have been. They could have been here.
Home court, man.
Because there was a lot of talk that they would have been. Could you imagine if Villanova's playing, you know, next Friday night, Wells Fargo?
Yeah. It would have been a packed house, man.
That would have been an awesome. That would have been an awesome display.
Dude, you know, one of the things that I love about the tournament. Now, obviously, gambling has changed a lot of it. But last night, I'm watching the St. Peter's game,
right?
And the crowd got louder and louder. And it's not because it was packed with St. Peter's fans. It was because there was probably people going, you know what? I want to see this upset.
Yes.
And I love the unbiased. Now, gambling changes that a little bit, that you could have gone there totally unbiased, but now because you had Kentucky in the points, or if you know that they're not going to cover, maybe you just go, you know what? I'd rather root for St. Peter's at this point. But it was awesome. All of a sudden, it sounded like it was a 75% St. Peter's crowd yesterday.
Yeah, because everybody, you know, starts to, everybody who's there now starts to root for the underdog.
Right, that's, exactly.
You know, I used to cover, I was thinking about this, right? Because I used to cover these games, and I did a lot of, like, NCAA tournaments. So one year, I went with Val Poe to St. Louis. I rode the bus.
That's like, cool.
I flew to Valparaiso, which is like an agricultural school in Indiana, and I drove on the bus from the school to the regional in St. Louis.
That's awesome.
And I, you know, wrote all about it. No, I did a bunch of these things. I'm trying to remember who else I did it with. But, like, that game, like, if somehow you get to the Sweet 16, St. Peter's, like, you know, that's such a great story.
Yeah.
To be in Jersey City, 3,500 kids. That's an awesome, that's just an incredible
thing. Yeah, now you got the nation behind you, right? Like, the UMBC upsetting, oh, was it Arizona a few years ago. So you have the nation behind them. And, like, that kind of stuff's really cool, man. Like, everybody can kind of get behind the underdog.
So Tyrone is the general, and I, we go back and forth a lot during the show, and we'll kind of commiserate as we talk about conversations. And he brings up a point that I think is completely spot on. And then we have issues with, like, and that's why before the break I asked you.
Yep.
You know, on a scale of 1 to 10, Dallas tonight, where are you that they have to look great?
Like, I don't think they have to look like an NBA Finals team tonight, but I need them to be, you know, I need them to look sharp tonight. They haven't looked sharp in 3 games.
Okay. So, but there's a difference. And you know, like, look, they beat Cleveland.
Yeah, they did. They also gave up a 31-13 spot in the third quarter, okay. And that can't happen.
Okay, well, but you know that's going to happen, like,
yeah.
Especially in the regular season. So if they won tonight and did the same thing, are you reacting?
I'm feeling great because they beat Luka and all that kind of stuff. And that
but they gave up, you know, 119.
I'd be fine with that because I don't think I knew their defense was going to be great coming into it.
Well, like, what if they get a big lead? I'm just giving you scenarios,
well, the big
right?
lead, if they blow another big lead, I'll be concerned because I'm going, all right, here we go again.
Right.
And you can't be doing this to teams like the Brooklyn Nets or the Milwaukee Bucks come playoff time.
See, I lean toward – see, I'm on Team Tyrone.
Okay.
Which is – and he said to me, no, it takes time to build chemistry, which I've been saying. Their offense is elite. Give it a little time. And that's kind of been my own mantra.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Legs is on and Legs is telling you, you know, forget about me, but if Legs is telling you, hey, listen, they're still the number one team to get to the finals or get to the Eastern Conference final.
Yeah.
That was his ranking.
No, I'm just saying, like, it can't be another ugly performance.
But I'm listening to John this morning, and he's like, they gotta do that.
I mean, I'm not as far as that, but it would just be, if they look bad again tonight, my first pang of worry was Nuggets.
They've looked bad against, here's what they did. They looked horrible against Brooklyn.
Yeah, it was awful.
Orlando was a sleepwalk piece.
Right.
And then they blew a lead against Denver because they were tired.
Yeah, yes, I can give you all those. You know, I can give you all those reasons too. I said the same.
Well, no,
stuff
I'm giving you that stuff.
Yeah.
Where does that and the fact that they need to, you know, they need to get some cohesion. Where does that fall into? Hey, how I'm going to look at the next three games?
Right. I mean, so I said earlier today that I need to see. All right, what's the next chess move for Doc Rivers? And it seems like teams have been able to attack the Sixers a certain way with the transition defense. Now, they did a good job in the transition defense against the Cavs the other night, so that's a good sign that they were able to improve on that, but they also blew another lead, right? And like, they let Caris LeVert go off. So your next move is, okay, how can we stop this? Because I said when they traded for James Harden, one of the things I was most excited about was there shouldn't be these huge runs for the opposing teams. Runs happen in the NBA all the time. I get that. But James Harden is going to be a guy that should be able to stop the opposing team's run. They may go 7-0, but then you can drop two buckets right away.
I need him. This is what I need out of him.
More aggressive. He's been passive, man.
Yeah, and is he playing rope-a-dope, looking to get all the guys involved?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, that's part of it. Listen, he I circle Harden as my biggest factor in this thing. I said it yesterday, and I don't know if people agreed, but I know what I'm getting from Embiid. I'm not worried about Joel Embiid not, you know, showing up in the finals. They're just in the playoffs.
Right. We had the caller yesterday that said he's not going to show cash. He said he's not going to show up. And I was like, well, you can't get to that.
No.
How can you get to that conclusion right now?
So I know what I'm going to get from Embiid. I get everybody else because the rest of them are all kind of fit, slot in, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
Maxey, Harris, they all slot in. It comes down to the guy with the ball in his hands.
Right.
And what he's going to do.
Yeah, and let's hope that he starts working a little bit. Yeah, it's not
the boys got beers. They're ready to go.
It's not that he doesn't work hard or anything like that. Like, right? Like, how many people thought when they first met, oh, he's a stat guy and he dogs out there? Like, he doesn't dog it. Like, he gives his all. It's not a lack of effort.
No, the only thing I'm worried about with him is, you know, there is the playoff thing, the big game thing. I just need him. I need him consistent, right? Like that. I gotta have him consistent. Dude, they're already starting. They're already starting.
Oh, what, the Harden thing?
Yeah.
I got a tweet from Dan Baxter. You guys are doing the positive spin thing you did for Ben for 5 years. Harden looks cooked. Plus, the bench doesn't have NBA players.
Dude, see, I can't take because it's funny. I get the same thing from my man Ant. He says, can't wait till the playoffs. We can stop fooling ourselves. All right? They BSing. They ain't nothing this season. Okay.
I can't. You know.
Okay, here's the thing.
Like, I'm not there. Okay?
So I'll Dan Baxter, and I give my man Ant. I give you Legler. All right? If you don't trust us, I'll give you Legster. And you can't say that it's the same as Ben. Come on. You know it's a whole build. Come on, Danny.
Yeah, I can't.
I mean, this rush to judgment.
He's cooked. I can't get to
this rush to judgment. Again, listen, I don't have a crystal ball, so maybe he is cooked. I don't know. All right, maybe could he turn out to have bad hamstrings and whatever? Okay, that's plausible. All right, I'm not telling you that can't happen or can't be, but I don't know how and why you're in such a rush to blow it all up and tell you it sucks. It's freaking Friday.
It's been 9 games.
There's the tournament on. But you can't just be hopeful?
Yeah, I want to, it's been 9 games with Harden on the court. They are 7-2, by the way, with him on the court. I get it, the Nets. I get it, the Nuggets. But with Harden on the court, they are 7-2.
You can't be at all a little hopeful? I'm not saying you got to be snowing yourself. Snowing yourself, right? And go lying to yourself. But, man, you know, you could even be dubious. Like, I don't know. I'm not feeling it. But to just come out, and I heard Mike say this, and he's not wrong. It's part of our DNA, I guess.
Oh, my God, yeah.
This Philadelphia race to judgment.
Okay.
We race to judgment. And is that, is that it? I mean, are we just... Why do we feel the need to do that?
I don't know, because if it ends up working out, you're happy, and if it doesn't work out, you already thought it wasn't going to, so you're not.
It's completely,
you're not in pain,
right? It's but here's the thing: that's a fallacy. This whole protecting your hopes, it's a fallacy.
Yeah, like I saw a guy. Yeah, I tweeted about the Cassianos thing today. And some guy goes, yeah, until they all go cold for 1 month, because that's going to happen. That's what happens with the Phillies every year.
Yeah, now, come on, bro.
Like, right away, Schwarber, Realmuto, Harper, Castellanos.
Yeah, but why would you...
And Hoskins all go cold in the month of May.
But this is my point. Forget about what he said. This is my point. Why would your brain automatically go to doom?
To set yourself up for less pain. Okay, that's what it is.
But that's a fallacy. Because if you don't win, you still hurt.
Yes.
You don't hurt any less because you peed on the whole thing to start. You're still gonna be disappointed. You're still gonna hurt. It doesn't matter if you lose and they're out in the playoffs. You're still disappointed.
Right. Exactly.
It's a fallacy to say, well, it's a defense mechanism. Because it really isn't. Because deep down, if you are a real fan, deep down, you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
I just don't know why your brain automatically goes to, until they all go cold for a month. What? Like, you're talking about having Castellanos, Schwarber, Harper, Hoskins, JT. You don't. That doesn't make you excited.
That should fire you up, man.
That doesn't make you feel good. Like,
oh well, they're going to lose 10-9 because of the defense.
Like, listen, I know I'm a little bit of a jolly Charlie, but my brain goes to, wow, man, how much fun will that be?
Right.
At Citizens Bank Park,
right? Exactly.
Where they're hitting bombs.
Buy your tickets now.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I'm looking. I go, man, there's bombs everywhere going out. That's going to be crooked numbers. How amazing is that going to be? Right. Like that. That's what your mind automatically goes to. That's what it does. But not, they're all going to go cold. All right. I think you know what you need to do? Go out, have a good time. It's beautiful outside. Soak in the DNA, right? Listen to Mikey, General, and Jen, right? Outside. Watch hoops. Drink beer. Have fun, everybody. We love you. We'll see you on Monday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.